B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block! Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocks the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
I'm in a rubber room. Good morning. Just another Tuesday in January, right? Happy Tuesday, January the 12th, across the Delaware Valley. After what a day yesterday. Crazy. What a crazy day. So it starts, so we're on the air, right? And we talked about the impending dismissal of Dougie P. And then yesterday at 2:01, it hit the wire. The minute we get off the air, 2:01, Dougie P out, according to Eagles chairman Jeffrey Lurie. And then Jeffrey spoke in a kind of winding, unwieldy news conference or video conference for 45 minutes yesterday. And, you know, I mean, we all know the shortcomings of this franchise, right? Like, you can look at the roster and you see that there is a roster problem, right? A personnel issue. And then you look at, you watch them and you saw a coaching issue. So, I know that across a lot of circles today, Doug Peterson is a martyr. I never thought he was a good coach, so I don't know. I don't have that same feeling, that same reaction. What I now look at is Jeffrey Lurie, who is heavy-handed in the organization and has been, and I will always say this because I like him, and I think he's been a very good owner for a long period of time. For the most part, they have been, Jeffrey has had them in contention, and he's done a lot of good things. The problem, though, is that he's involved heavily, right? Like, there is a huge involvement in personnel. We know Howie. Right, we know what the deal is when it comes to personnel. So it brings me back to this. Going forward, because what's done is done, and I can't shed any tears for Doug. Listen, I would buy him a beer every day of the week for the Super Bowl and his involvement. I don't think he was the sole reason they won the Super Bowl. I thought he and Howie had a great offseason and great year, right? You bring in, you mix in a little Frank Reich and a little DeFilippo, and you got Foles magic, and it all computes to a Super Bowl and one that I will cherish for the remainder of my days. What they need now is a CEO. What they need now is a coach that comes in here who's not a glorified offensive coordinator. He might come from the OC ranks, but whomever he is needs to be strong. He needs to be presidential. He needs to be able to cut through everything. Now, whether that is the personnel office. Now, you heard Jeffrey talk about all the guys that are involved in personnel, right? The, you know, Dorsey now's here and all the other guys that were here before, and Joe Douglas and Andy Whitehall and the whole crew, and Andrew Berry and everybody else, right? So you see all this, you know, all these guys. And then you have the coach and whatever their input is and whatever how they feel. It's got to match their scheme, the whole thing. So what you need is someone to cut through all that, right? You need somebody to come in and who is a strong personality. Someone who can address you guys weekly, us guys weekly, right? Like who is understands and is not intimidated by this town. Because I do know that some guys just don't work here. And while it's great, and when things are good, everybody likes it. When things go bad, i.e. you saw what happened with Doug, you can't take it, right? Like, you got to be able to stand up there and cop to your own issues, cop to your mistakes, and address the fan base with as much sincerity and as much truth without, here's the caveat, without giving up the store, right? But you got to be sincere and you got to be as real as possible. And you got to be able to do that in good times and bad times. And that is the personality, right? You need someone that is presidential. You also, obviously, and this goes without saying, you need to have an acumen. You need to have an acumen on both sides of the ball, and you got to be able to speak to players and speak to the X's and O's. Like, we've seen guys who can speak to the X's and O's. Like, let's look at Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly had some great principles, stuff that's still in use today in the NFL. Now, he went overboard with tempo, but his use of tempo, his use of the width of the field, his use of the RPO, you bringing in a lot of the college stuff, because never before has Sunday been like Saturday the way it is now. But Chip Kelly failed when it came to leading people and fostering a winning atmosphere. He failed miserably at that. He was used to being a little dictator in Eugene, Oregon. Well, the NFL's different, right? The NFL is a completely, completely different beast. So, Dougie P, he had a lot of the EQ that Jeffrey was seeking after the no EQ of Chip Kelly. But a couple things. One, while it worked, being a chummy guy, he lacked a lot of the foresight, a lot of the exit, a lot of the game management. He really couldn't think and he couldn't get his ideals across. All he wanted to do was call plays, right? Didn't have a lot of tentacles around the league, the whole thing. So, I mean, you saw his shortcomings. He wasn't the smartest guy in the room, right? So, I mean, we could be real about that. So, Andy had all that stuff. Now, there was some, a couple flaws here, but circumstances dictated that he was close here and never won it. Like, I'll give you the perfect example of who you need. Now, you know that I've always talked about Matt Rhule. Now, one of the reasons why I always talked about Matt Rhule was I obviously was close with him, but being close with him, I got to watch him as a coach, right? I got to see him talk to players. I got to see him build something. He also, and this is what's fascinating about Matt Rhule, and this is, I only tell you the story because the only thing that matters now is what's next, is that Matt learned how to become an offensive coordinator. He brought in a coach from Nevada one night, and he learned all about offense. Spent a couple late nights at a local bar in South Philly talking to a coach from Nevada and learning offense, picking the brains, and then watching tape and then going at it. He knew defense. He knew offense. And he put both principles together and became a coach, very relatable, and a builder. You need someone to build a program that's sustainable. What we know from the Super Bowl is that it wasn't sustainable, neither from the personnel or the coach, right? Neither of those two factors were sustainable, and it played out that way. And you could give me, well, you know, they had that little run the year after the Super Bowl. I mean, let's be real here. None of that was sustainable. We can talk about Alshon Jeffrey as a drop all you want. They were going downward. They were trending downward. They were an aging roster. They had lost a lot of teeth in their run game. And I'll give you some Carson stuff going forward from talking to people. And I've talked to a lot of people the last couple days. But what they need, in my opinion, is that CEO. Now, I got names, and we can discuss them later on. But I think that's the key takeaway is you need someone to come in here and be in charge. And if, you know, you like a guy in the draft, you got to be able to tell all the GMs, Howie, and then, you know, the Dorsey's and the personnel department, this is why I want them. This is what I need. And I think it's too collaborative, and I think you need a strong voice. Good morning, Tunis.
What's going on, man? How are you?
Wow. Off the subject, that championship game was unbelievable last night.
Yeah. Bama's just absurd. They really are.
I come away with one lament. I wish to God I could see Alabama of last night play LSU of last year.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a cool game. That'd be nice.
That was
instead of Alabama versus Ohio State. It was a tight game. The first
Smith.
What?
Oh,
20
my
minutes.
God.
Yeah. Howie. If Devontae's there at six.
Oh, he's not going to be at six.
If he's there at six.
Yeah.
You take him.
I don't think he's going to.
Don't overthink it.
I still think. I don't know about like Chase, but I think Miami goes and gets a real receiver.
Probably, but I'm just saying, Howie.
At three, yeah.
If he's there.
My God.
Take him! Don't overthink it!
My God.
Yeah, he had, what, 200 yards in the first half? And three touchdowns?
And that's with, you know, that's with Ryan Day, who's a coach at Iowa State, who knows that, rolling coverage his way.
Yeah. I mean, dude, he's lightning fast. Every time they add him in motion, like, they can't keep up with him.
Well, the thing is, he glides.
Yes. Yeah. Doesn't look like, you're right. Doesn't even look like his feet are touching the ground.
Right. He glides. He floats. And he's got really long arms that.
Yeah, there's the photo of him on the sideline with his arms just like past his knees. Like, it's like, oh my God, dude.
He's got amazing, you know, almost ballerina like qualities.
If he's there at six, I know you're saying he probably won't be. If he's there at six, please. Do not.
Well, I mean, what you saw last night, some great play. Like Najee Harris, the way he runs.
Yeah.
The way he catches the ball out of the backfield. Oh, my God.
Yeah. A lot of players from last night on Alabama side. Rigo.
It's just fun.
I'll take them.
I'm a big college football fan. You know that.
And yeah.
I watch all these games all week. And so I was really looking forward to last night.
Man, 50 spot. They put up a 50 spot in the national championship.
Without trying in the second
half. Yeah, I know. Exactly. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a wild game last night. But it was a wild day yesterday.
It was at 2:01, Tunis.
Yeah, I know. I called you right
away.
We said, all right, man, see you later. We get in our cars, and then I put on the station, and there's Mike talking about it. And I like missed the first 2 minutes of the show. I'm like, what is he talking about? Because they're doing the cash giveaway. Like, what? And then he reminded us that Doug got fired, so I called you right away. And it's crazy. And then all of the stuff that came out yesterday, there's just leaks everywhere, right? Whether it's Team Howie or Team Doug or there's Team Carson stuff out there, all over the place. And you just try to wonder what is true or what's not true. And it's crazy. Yesterday was just such a dramatic day. The drama continues with the Philadelphia Eagles. And one of the things I take away from it is I'm concerned about the franchise, period. Jeffrey Lurie, listen, I know he's the owner of the team, and he's trying to smooth things over. He was talking out of his rear end at times yesterday.
Well, right, you thought he was delusional.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm listening to this dude, and he's telling us about how, oh, well, teams in the NFL always have high periods and low periods in the draft. And I go, can you show me the high period? Where's the Howie Roseman and this group of people, whoever you want to blame, where's the high period? Like, you can't just give me one player. I need a draft, right? You can't give me two rounds. I need a draft. Oh, well, the Seahawks had some low period. When? The Seahawks are contending every single year. What are you telling me? Don't tell me that there's high and lows. You're right for a lot of teams, but I don't see the high for the Eagles. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
And so I got to hear all that. Oh, Howie has a great staff around him. I don't care. Because that great staff clearly isn't doing anything.
Like we talk about the whole idea of building a team.
Yes.
And you'll see these, and you're right about you. Listen, he's right. Not everybody hits it out of the park every year.
Yeah, of course not.
However, to your point, you need that draft where you get four guys.
Right.
Right? Like, you got to be seeing the ball well. And then, you know, you have one of those drafts. Like, yeah, it's true. Like, sometimes guys are taken and some guy, you know, team takes your pick. You know, it's like anything else, right? But you need that draft that is the home run draft that is the building block, the foundation for your team.
Yeah, I mean,
that's how runs get started.
If you think about it, over the last 5 years, the one draft where I always say I'm okay with is 2016, because you got Wentz and you got like Vitae, and he's not here anymore.
Right.
Right. And you got Mills because he was a serviceable cornerback.
See, one of the drafts, like, to use your, you're right. And one, to further your point, one of the drafts that helped prolong the Eagles and give them sustainability over the 2000s as a competitor was Lito Shepherd and Sheldon Brown.
Yep.
And Brian Westbrook. You drafted foundation Michael Lewis, who played some safety.
Yep.
You drafted foundation players.
When you already had a decent roster, right? And then all of a sudden, boom, these are the guys
that
are cornerstones on defense.
Well, the beauty is that Lito and Sheldon wound up taking over
for your one and two,
Vincent and Taylor,
yeah,
who were really good corners, right? But they were able to use those guys. I mean, listen, the way Andy built that team, I know they needed a wide receiver, and I agree, but he doesn't get enough credit of building the whole team except that.
Right.
Right? Like Trey Thomas.
Yeah, that offensive line,
signing Big John Runyon, who was a great player, and filling in later in the draft in your interior offensive line, and going to get corners, and going to get, you know, defensive tackles. It was brilliant.
And then even though they didn't really focus on linebackers in the draft, they still always had guys. I mean, like, you're right. Those teams, the way they were built, were you could sustain success. You could sustain runs. And this team, and Jeffrey Lurie talked about it yesterday, you know, we try to build off of that Super Bowl run, which that's fine. I'm cool with you trying to keep on winning, but the draft, whether you're trying to win or not, whether you're going rebuild, retool,
you still got to hit.
You got to hit.
Yeah.
Because that means you can then continue to have this young crop so that when that free agent, like an Alshon Jeffrey, I know we don't like his contract, but Alshon Jeffrey, let's face it, was still here not only because of his contract, but the rest of the receivers were just not good enough.
Well, he and Deshaun.
Yeah.
And see, that's the problem. Like, you know, like I hear Jeffrey had a heavy hand with Arcega Whiteside, right?
Right.
Now, DK Metcalf, we know by now he was a medical for them, which means he's off the board.
Right.
So they thought he had a degenerative condition and whatever. That's, you know, that's a mistake by their medical people, right? To put that tag on him.
Yep.
Right. So they missed
out. Taken those 2 years.
But there were other guys out there that were good, right? There were other guys out there besides DK. And, you know, even though I wanted him and you wanted him and at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know. Like my,
not revisionist history here.
My biggest beef for this year's draft was the first three picks, right? My biggest beef was, all right, the Jefferson thing is obvious. I do understand where they thought he was more of a slot guy as opposed to an outside guy. All right, like, you know, that could be an honest mistake. But here's what I was really upset by. You got to be able to go and be aggressive and get C.D. Lamb. Because when C.D. Lamb's falling, he's the guy you need.
Yeah.
Like, C.D. Lamb's the guy. You got to do whatever you can to jump up in front of Dallas to be able to get C.D. Lamb.
Right.
Because he was the pick. I'll never understand the Hurts pick, even if it turns out to be a player. And the project of Taylor.
Yeah, Taylor. It would have,
you know. Yeah, I mean, that's what that is. All right, but we got lots to do. And here's the thing. I don't want to... We'll hear from Jeffrey Lurie. You know, like, to me, it's about going forward and what you need. And I want to hear what you have to say. And it, and like, I heard from some people that thought, you know, Doug was a martyr. And but feel free, share it. I mean, you know, he won a Super Bowl. So, you know, even though I think he needs to move on, it is what it is. You know, he still achieved here and will always be, you know, down in history. I don't think he gets a job this year, just FYI. But I've talked to a lot of people. I got names for you I want to talk about. If you watched the game last night, we could salivate over Devontae Smith and Najee Harris and everybody else. it's Cuz Radio with DeChunas, and we're just getting started on a Tuesday, 97.5.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. More of the Anthony Gargano Show now
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The 10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Emotional intelligence.
All right. 10:30. What are you guys thinking? I need to hear from you guys. And I just want you to espouse your own thoughts on this whole situation. I just want to hear. I'm curious. Are you beside yourself that it was just Doug and not Howie in the personnel department? Are you happy? Are you you have reservations? You think it's Lurie? Like we're 3 years removed from the Super Bowl. It's pretty astounding when you think about it, right? Like that we're that close. And I was talking about it yesterday with my cousin and you know, everything went right. I mean, it's pretty obvious kind of what happened. It was the perfect mix. And I guess you could take shots. I mean, it was almost like to compare it to the Marlins in baseball where they put together a team and they won it and then
for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is they were right there the next year too, right?
They really weren't. They had taken a step backward. You could say
they
it was
did.
All because,
oh, yeah, they did.
Because of Carson, but I don't believe that. Listen, Al Strahan dropped that ball and they might have gone on the wind.
I mean, they should have continued to lead that game. They blew a lead that game too.
But we make this conclusion that they were going to go and beat the Rams in the
right.
NFC Championship. I don't know about that. I mean, you never know. You were close. You made a bit of a run, but you could see you didn't have this. It was tailing off, and that's the only point because every year for it started to decline.
Right. Yeah.
And that again is partly roster, largely roster, also coaching, because over the years I question sometimes if they recognize talent and ability. Like, I don't know. I looked at we talked about Boston Scott and Greg Ward last year, right? The year before this one. And how it took them till the last month to incorporate them. Like, what are you looking at? Same thing with Quez Watkins. Like, why wasn't he utilized more? I watched how the Bears brought Darnell Mooney. Darnell Mooney was a middle round pick and a fabulous speed guy. And they brought him along slowly. They got him the ball in space, right? And then little by little, they incorporated him in the game plan. And I just never understood why you'd mess around with Alshon Jeffrey.
Yep.
And Deshaun, who was always popping his wheels, you know, why not try to nurture some of the young talent?
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. I know he dropped a few big passes, but even Hightower this year, we saw him early on and beat the guy defending him with just natural speed. It wasn't because he had made a nice move. No, it was just natural speed, and he got by his defender, whether Carson made a bad throw or he dropped the ball, whatever. But then after like week five, when all these guys started coming back, you didn't see him anymore. And you go, this is the year where you should try to see what you have, which is why I got so angry when Jason Peters went back at left tackle after Mailata played three good games. It was an elite left tackle performance by Mailata, but it was enough where you go, all right, you should see if this dude, because you don't know the left tackle position moving forward.
Exactly.
Is it Dillard? Is it Mailata?
There's a question.
Are we doing Peters again? Like, right. What are we doing here?
And see, here, some of the fatal mistakes. See, I think the fatal mistake that Peterson made, I think he was a weak leader. Like, I joke around being like Coach Fredo. I think he was likable to the guys. Like he's certainly like a likable locker room guy.
Yeah.
Spent your life. Listen, there's a reason why he lasted 10 years in the NFL, right? He sucked as a player.
Right.
I mean, he really did. You could find anybody to hold a clipboard, but he was a guy that people liked having around.
He connected with people.
That is his gift. But as far as all he wanted to do was be a play caller, right? Like, how many times we talked about, that's why he wanted to, nobody of note would come in here. Do I think if Doug Peterson said, listen, because I don't think he knew a lot of guys around the league. He said, well, let's go get G.J. Kinney. Now, G.J. Kinney, remember that name?
Yep.
He was a quarterback.
Yeah, he's one of those hot names out there right now.
Well, he's an OC in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I brought him up before because I think he's a really sharp guy. Or Garrett Riley, who is at SMU, Lincoln Riley's brother, right? These guys are like really young, up-and-coming offensive minds. If Doug would have said, hey, listen, let's get one of those guys to come in and be the offensive coordinator. Now, they would call plays.
And he didn't want to give that up.
And I'll oversee and be the president, the CEO, the Harbaugh, the
Tomlin,
Belichick, Matt Rhule, right? I'll do that and coach this team. Then I think he's here. But all he wanted to do was
Press Taylor,
right? Like when he says, "I'll make Press Taylor the OC," there you go. Wow. And the only reason why you wanted to do that is so you could still call the plays. That was a big problem.
Yep.
The same, you know, mundane offense. I think there's a lot of issues. I think there are a lot of issues. That's just why I think they need a voice.
Well, here's one of my biggest concerns, and it came out of Jeffrey Lurie's press conference yesterday. He basically said that the mindset was different between he and Howie and Doug Peterson. And apparently Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, again, this is what Jeffrey was saying yesterday, they wanted to go into a direction of a rebuild / retooling, whereas Doug wanted to continue to win, right? That's where they kind of separated their mindset.
Well, I think they won four games this year.
Well, yeah, exactly. But no, this is going into the season and then also next year, right? Because you look at this roster, the roster's old. Clearly, the young guys you brought in have not grabbed the, you know, the world's attention. The guys like DK Metcalf have, but J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is not. And then I go, all right, so you're going to bring in a new coach who's going to probably agree with that because he's going to want to build his roster. If you're still moving forward with Carson Wentz as your quarterback, you're now going to waste another year or two of them. Unless this year is strictly, let's fix this roster and let's also fix Carson.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what this season is. Let's work through all the kinks of Carson Wentz while we rebuild this roster.
Well, I mean, let's face it.
They're not going to win this year.
No.
But are you wasting another year or two of trying to get Carson Wentz back, or do you completely look at it as a, let's just fix everything this year?
No, it's a fix. You got to determine at the end of the year who's your quarterback.
Right.
Right? That's the season that you're looking at. Who's the quarterback? So let's examine that for a second, and then I want to open up the phone lines. So you got to figure out, so when it comes to Carson, having talked to some people over the last couple of days, most people think that Wentz is fixable. Mm-hmm. Now, some people are shocked, especially those who are a little further away, as to why it's gotten so bad. Like, he can't see a freaking guy in front of him.
Right.
Like, what's that about?
Whether it's one of his teammates or defender right in front of him, yeah.
Like, why can't he see that? When, you know, you got people telling you stories about how when he first came in, he saw the field so well that he was doing progressions that weren't even in the play, making stuff happen.
Right.
But what happened to that guy? Now, here's what I do know. When things were good with Carson, Reich was the pat on the head, you're great guy, and DeFilippo was the ball breaker.
It's a good cop, bad cop routine there.
Right. And he was the guy killing him about, hey, you know, mechanics. That was a big deal. And I know that he and Press Taylor are close, the whole thing. I don't know where the Doug hates Carson thing came from. I don't know where that came from.
It was a leak to try to make things easier, is my guess.
Yeah?
Somebody leaked that out. I don't know who, but somebody leaked that out there to make it look better to move on from Doug. Because there is a portion of the fan base that still goes, wow, they did Doug dirty. He just won the Super Bowl 3 years ago.
But that was a Mortensen report.
Yeah. Somebody gave it to him.
You know?
Yeah, so somebody higher up probably gave that to him, and or Doug himself gave it to him and said, I just want to get out of here.
Yes.
Because then immediately, D-Gum tweeted it out yesterday. He talked with Doug. Doug goes, I'm at peace. It almost looks like, remember those reports I told you about yesterday that Doug was sort of welcoming, or he would have welcomed a change? It looks like that may have come to fruition, too. And Lori even himself said it yesterday, that they agreed to part ways.
You know, it could be that Doug woke up and went, hey, I don't need this headache.
Yeah, Rappaport said that he was tired of being told of what to do. Well, and I'm sure that's coming right from Doug, right?
Yeah, but yes, but here's the problem.
We don't know what's true and what's not.
Well, no. Here's the problem. He's probably being told what to do. That sounds like Fredo to me. I'm smart. Why are you telling me what? It sounds just like that.
Right.
It sounds like he got tired of it. By the way, according to Schefter, Robert Saleh is the first name that they're going to interview.
Okay. Defensive coordinator for the Niners.
He's been all over the place.
Yes, he has.
He's rumored to be involved in Jets, in Detroit. He's one of those hot candidates along with Brian Dable.
Yeah, he did a fantastic job with that defense. And, you know, obviously it helps to have Bosa and everybody else on that team. But, you know, maybe he could fix this defense up a little bit.
So, well, let's
fix the team, period.
Yeah, I think we're going at it the wrong way where we're looking at coordinators. Go, well, they can fix that side of the ball. You need someone to come in here to coach the team.
Right.
right? They may have a background in offense or in Dable's, in when it comes to Dable, he's fixed Josh Allen.
That's a big part.
Right? That's a big deal. And he knows offense. But his job, that's secondary. Primary job description is not some OC, not some DC, but a guy to be the CEO, if we're putting letters together.
All right. Sounds good.
You down with that?
I'm down with that, yes. All right.
Let's talk to our friends. Sam in Seattle, you get it started. Sammy, you're on 97.
Morning, guys.
What's up, Sammy?
What up? How you doing, man?
What's happening, my brother? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too, man. I'm not going to kick him when he's down, but I wasn't expecting this move, and I'm glad it happened. Because I was on the same, and we've been saying it for about a year and a half now.
Yeah,
he ran out of plays. This was hard.
Yes.
This offense, they were almost not fun to watch. They weren't.
Yeah, even I agree.
Those teams that you go, get out of here. Like, how are they going to score 20 points ever?
Right.
Ever? How are they going to score? So I'm not like I'm glad because I thought he was back for sure. So this caught me off guard, and I'm excited. Like, we got good offseason now. Wentz might not be out of here because with him coming back, I thought Wentz was, like, done.
Right.
Even if they didn't want, you know. So I'm, like, super excited, man. And thank you for the Super Bowl. But, dude, you ran out of plays since 2018.
I know.
It's
funny.
I'm sorry.
You know what's funny, Sammy? But the analogy is when he ran out of plays on the two-point conversions. Remember that?
Oh, he actually ran out of plays. And I was just trying to be funny. Yeah, he actually said I ran out of plays.
Yeah.
No, I think I completely agree with where you're coming from. And I used to be one of those guys like, Tomlin's overrated. What does he really, really do? No, but that's exactly like we need. Somebody who commands the room. And then when players interchange, like say somebody gets hurt or you move on from a quarterback, you don't have to worry about it. You bring in a good OC that suits that player's skills, and you don't worry about the head coach because the main guy is still there. You just replace OCs like Pittsburgh did all these years.
Right.
Like they just,
right.
So that's exactly what I'm looking for. But I don't know about Salah because I think they're just doing their due diligence. I think you know it's going to be some offensive guy he's going to bring in. He said it too. This is about offensive league yesterday. Oh, by the way, before I'm all over the place, but dude, what was that? What was that stuff coming out of Lurie's mouth? English is my second language. I could have done a better press conference, dude. What the heck was he saying? Like for 45 minutes of garbage that came out of his mouth.
I hear you, brother. I hear you.
All right, man. I think we're going to be fine. This is fine.
Sammy, I know. It is a fresh start, and that
a year.
Yeah,
Sooner than later. A year sooner than later.
I agree.
All right,
baby. Sammy, good stuff, brother.
I love the Lori. Well, we have been successful. Look at what we did 20 years ago.
Yeah,
I go, dude. I mean, what has he done for me lately?
Right. And here's
20 years ago.
Here's the thing that I think the entire organization really needs to do better with. And that is, why are you even making an argument? Like, there's no reason to make it. You know the landscape. The landscape is, you win four games, people are pissed off.
Yes.
That's it.
There you
right?
go.
You miss on a couple guys. People think you can't draft. All right? That's the bottom line. That all may be true, but that's the bottom line. You can't react to it.
No.
You know, you don't need to, again, it goes back to the resume, right? You don't need to give people your resume and say, I played football. I was a quarterback in this league for 10
right.
years.
I know how to see through the quarterback's eyes.
Right. Like, you don't need to do that. They'll get it by you not saying it.
Right, exactly.
You need to float supremely. The great leaders, they don't acknowledge the criticism.
Yeah, Bill Belichick doesn't really go, I have six Super Bowl rings. Like,
right.
He doesn't have to tell you that.
Listen, no matter what you do, no matter what field you're in, right? Just look at social media. No matter what, you know, everybody's going to get it between the eyes, right? there's always going to be critics. There's always going to be people who don't like you. There's always going to be someone hunting for your job. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. But the leaders, they float above it. They don't react to it. The great achievers and leaders, you know, they're solely focused on the task. And that's who they need to bring in. That's the one you don't react. Who cares? You're going to react to talk radio. You're going to react to Jeff McClain. You know, you're going to react.
He'll be joining us at 11:40 today.
To Chris Mortensen or Mike Garofolo.
He'll be joining us at 12:40 today.
Right? Like, you don't need to react to these people. Listen, I love them all. And I, you know, this is what we do. But you don't need to react to anybody. If you know, you got to worry about the task.
Right.
And building it. If you're wasted time trying to, you know, convince people or, you know, worrying about, and that a lot of it is the ego issue, right?
Oh, yeah.
You, the most successful people, just check the ego. I mean, look at Belichick, right? Right? Is he trying to convince you that he's smart?
Nope.
Right? Does he care what you think?
Nope. Not at all.
Right. Does he care that they only won, you know, whatever it was, five games, six games?
He's ready to attack this offseason.
Right. Right? Look at Nick Saban. They call him Satan. Nick Satan.
Yeah.
Does he care?
No.
They don't care. Oh, you can't coach in the NFL. Does he care?
He's like, all right, I'll make my $5 million here or whatever he makes, probably more
than that. Yeah. But you get my point. And when you address, again, leadership, CEO material, when you run a business, run a company, run a football team, like you said with Andy, did you ever hear Andy react to anything? Oh, you got no time management. Ah, all you do is throw. You don't run the ball. Does he say, well, you know, the year I had Westbrook and Deuce and Buckholder, I ran the ball more than anybody in the league?
No, all he said was this.
Okay, don't worry about it. Enjoy the win, man.
Yeah, and people hate his news conference because he didn't say anything, right?
Right.
I got to do a better job.
Doug said too much.
I got to do a better job. Right. But Andy didn't step on landmines and create controversy where there was none.
And Doug, why is Carson regressed? Oh, that's a good question.
Right. Like, listen, you could have a different attitude. You could be jovial. Hey, man, you know what? I sucked yesterday. That's what Matt Rhule. Go listen to Matt Rhule stuff. He'll tell you that. It's good to be self-deprecating. That's what they need. He's someone who's smart. Someone who can lead. Someone presidential. Cuz Radio, Tunis, 97.5 The Fanatic.
And this is Andrew Sal Tunis. You got to listen up, football fans, because I've got the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend. We got four games, a same game parlay bet only available on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. A same game parlay bet lets you combine multiple bets from a single game to win even bigger during the playoffs. You can combine the money line, the over, under, and player props all in one parlay. And FanDuel is letting you place a same game parlay bet risk free. And all FanDuel customers can get up to $10 back on your bet if you don't win. The playoffs are the perfect time to give one a shot. I actually gave one a shot this past weekend during the New Orleans-Chicago game. It didn't hit, but all I did was bet $1, and I put all these ridiculous bets together, and boom, it would have been a payout of $243 with a $1 bet. That's kind of fun you can have. Also, they have great odds boosts. Yesterday, they did a super boost. They boosted Alabama's money line from -310 to -110. Beautiful. If you haven't already, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up to get started and use my promo code Fanatic at sign up. That's promo code Fanatic at sign up. If you are a current customer, then you're all set. Go check out same game parlays only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. Must be 21 plus, present Jersey or PA. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund is $10. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 11 o'clock. Happy, happy Tuesday. All right, let's hear Jeffrey Lurie when he talks about the idea of how attractive the Eagles' job is due to the quarterback situation.
Quarterback situation, we've got two really interesting assets. So they're both young, they're both hungry, they're, terrific people, very different and terrific people. Coach is going to have options. Coach is going to have an ability to fix what he feels is necessary in our offense, have a potential star in Carson and a potential star in Jalen. That gives us an asset also, so that if we end up deciding on one someday, the other is a really good asset.
All right. I mean, they're only good. The assets are only there if A, you deem Carson fixable, and B, you deem Jalen Hurts a future franchise quarterback. But he's got to be, but A, has to be fixed, and B, has to be nurtured.
Yeah, and I don't know how you can prove that, too. Like, if Wentz wins the starting job, which I think we all expect, what is the four games and the preseason tape going to be enough to flip Hurts for something?
Nobody's flipping.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
Hurts isn't getting flipped.
So, I don't know. And then it opens it up. All right, so you're bringing in a new coach. I thought the plan was you should move on from Doug, bring in a coach who can fix Carson, right? I thought that should be the plan all along. But the way Lurie kind of made it sound was like this guy could also pick between the two quarterbacks.
Yeah, listen, yes. That's, like, to
a
me.
A real possibility?
Well, again, in my world, if I'm the owner, I'm bringing in a guy who's my CEO, and I want his input, right? I want him to go work with both guys. I don't want it just off the tape. He's got to be around both those guys.
Right.
Like, listen, if he's around Wentz and, you know, he comes to me in late August and says, dude, my man is not fixable. All right, well, I know. He says, I love this Hurts. I think I can get to Carson, but I love this Hurts. Hurts can be a star. All right, right? Or if he says, listen, you know, Hurts, he'll only be a backup in this league.
Right.
All right? He is what he is. But that's the point, is I'm not asking him to make a judgment now, the new coach. He's got to be around them. He's got to understand. He's got to have his staff. Like, that's where the other aspect of it is. You need a really strong staff. Whoever comes in, look at Doc Rivers. Do I need to go far for an example?
No, not at all.
Look at the staff that Doc Rivers put together. And so they're leaning on one another. So their judgments, what comes out of the coaching room isn't the imbecilic musings of a head coach, but a truly, not even a collaborative, but a truly an assessment that is done by highly competent people vetted by the head coach.
Right, not just, these are my guys that I want to go to war with. Bringing back Corey Unlin to be your DC. Like, what?
Right.
What are you doing, dude?
Exactly. Dwayne, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Dwayne.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
What's up, buddy boy? What's happening?
No, glad Doug got fired. But I'm kind of frustrated with the people who are saying, you know, he's a Super Bowl coach. He deserves better. Let's talk about business. I don't want to talk about feelings. I don't want to talk about emotions.
Yeah.
I want to talk strictly freaking business. Okay?
Yeah.
If you watch the Eagles the past two, maybe even 3 years, the offense has been on a decline along with Carson Wentz. Why? He's not scheming guys open. Yeah, we got rookie receivers. Part of it is on the receivers, route running. But Doug was not scheming guys open. Doug wanted to run the show, and it didn't look good. It didn't look right. I even heard Adam Kaplan say, some people were saying he's running the same plays from last year. How is that innovative? Okay, how are you developing? How is the team getting better? You know, and then, okay, you didn't fire Howie Roseman. I need the up top people to learn from the mistake they made, if that's what it's going to be. Let the scouting people scout. Let them make judgments. Let them do their job. Bring in a coach. Let him do his job. Like you said, we need a leader. We need somebody that's offensive-minded and defensive-minded that can come in and say, hey, this is what I see on offense. This is what I see on – and to coach their players. It's just as simple. They're making football harder than what it is by what we always say, trying to be the smartest team, trying to be the smartest person. Let's go back to the basics. Let's go back to the basics and let's build this team. The fans are going to be here. We can complain. We can cry. But guess what? I'm mad, but I'm watching them every day. I'm listening to you guys. I'm listening to other people report. And guess what? Next year, I'm going to be in on every freaking game. So let's just do it that way.
Well,
that's what I.
Well, I got to tell you, I think you're dead on. I got Dwayne. I mean, I think you're exactly right. It's what I'm preaching, right? Which is need the CEO. You need someone to come in that can run it correctly, have a presence, right? Like, I want my coach to come in and go, hey, all right, this is what I need. You get it. You get it for me.
Right.
Right? Like, I need a slot receiver. I need a nickel corner. I need an edge pass rusher. I need a playmaker. Let's go. And then we sit and they come to you and they go, well, I got, these four guys. What's your input? And then the guy looks at the tape. I know that I like this kid, but what's his makeup like? All right, let's narrow it down. I mean, this is got to be. But the coach has to be a strong presence.
Right. It has to be a strong presence. Now, do you believe the reports that they're trying to look for somebody, Doug S., meaning somebody weak, somebody just happy to get the job? Because if that's the case, that's what I'm saying. You got to learn from that situation.
I'm with you. Listen, there are guys that you need to vet, that you need to look at. I just don't want a glorified coordinator.
Right, exactly. That's my point. You said it good right there. That's my point. I just don't want a glorified coordinator. I want to, like you said, CEO and a leader, and let's move on. You hitting it on the nose. You need to be in the front office. That's what you need to do.
That's
and just
bro.
Go up there to the front office.
Well, have a good one. You too, baby. Take it easy. Yeah, I've tried that. Failed. That's why I'm a fake football guy. I told the real football guys, right? Get all excited. Told the real football guys, I'm still on the outs.
I think you're a heck of a football guy.
So I'm a heck of a fake football guy. I'm a Fugazi. I'm really delusional.
I like to think I'm a football guy.
I'm a delusional. Mark in Mount Airy. Marky, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Anthony, what's going on,
man?
What
are you doing, brother? How's everything?
I'm good, man. I'm real good. Thank you. Listen, I'm going to tell you guys, I may have to suspend my Eagles fandom for a year or two. Like, I might have to put it in the closet for another day.
Okay.
Because I didn't listen to the full interview from Jeff Lurie, but from the snippets that I've heard, I can't in good conscience look forward to the next season or look forward to the future when he's talking about we did an honest assessment of what's going on and we're trying to build a team to be better, and yet you're still have Howie Roseman as your right-hand man. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Yes, you did the right thing by getting rid of Doug Peterson. That was the correct thing. But there's a part two to that that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just delaying that. And the fact that he's going to go forward with this, and if he's talking about doing a rebuild, then that means he's going to go forward with this for 2 years. And I can't watch Howie Roseman continue to screw us over for another 2 years. Like, I just can't do that. Like, so, like, I guess I'll be watching, hoping for the best. But as far as, like, my heart investment.
Listen, listen, he's got to prove to you that he's that you're right, that it's worth your attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, they have not proven that they're worth our attention, and they want to talk about their past achievements. Like,
you're right. Like, you're right on. And they shouldn't worry about trying to give you words, right? Hey, it is what it is. You won the Super Bowl. It's great. You know the business. You know the town. You got to get you can't win four games. You can't slide downward every year. You can't miss on picks. You can't, you know, have a roster. So you're on the clock. And if you do your job, people will show up and people will pay attention and you'll get the glory. But you got to do it. You can't just go make an argument.
Exactly. And especially when we're not just talking, particularly the last 2 years, we're not just talking about you missing on, like, oh, that guy's good. No, we're talking about, like, these guys were generational at their position. Like, they were the best rookie. Like, DK was the best rookie last year.
Right.
Justin Jefferson, the best rookie this year.
Right.
Like, you're missing out on the best guys. And you're like, well, and even when you want to talk about, go back to like 2016 when we got Carson, the fact that, like, what bothers me about that is that he said, looking in our crystal ball, we didn't see anybody going, that was going to be what Carson Wentz is, and we didn't see a great QB class going forward. Meanwhile, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes is coming the very next year. Like blows my mind.
Here's the thing. I can't blame him for liking Wentz. You went in on, you looked at the quarterback situation and you went, wow, all right, this is my guy. All right, I actually think the dude was good. Somewhere along the way, he lost his mojo, whatever, it's from coaching, himself, marriage, kid. I don't know. He lost the
dude. Right.
But I can't. That's the one area where I'm not going to kill him for going to Wentz, because I do think Wentz has a build.
Oh, see, don't get me wrong. I'm not killing him for taking Wentz. I'm killing him for the comment being made that there's no talent going forward.
Yeah. You're right. That's ridiculous. I mean, look, every year you're going to have a couple quarterbacks that are going to be good. Now, you're going to have a crop. Some crops will be bountiful. But you can't make the assessment that, well, the quarterbacks aren't getting any good. I mean, Herbert and, you know, Mahomes, and there's a lot of good young quarterbacks. Like you said, Deshaun Watson. See, college mimics the NFL now,
mm-hmm.
right? More than ever. The days, and this is something that frustrates me, right? Because I don't think that everybody in that league gets this, right? That college football is so much like the NFL. All the principles, because they throw the football and run spread offenses, the days of the wishbone and Oklahoma
right.
running a wishbone, and Nebraska running a wishbone, right? And, you know, the run-heavy squads, the SEC, that you run the ball in Georgia with the big backs. You said Nick Chubb, but they throw the ball.
Yeah.
Right? So if you throw the ball, if every college program throws the ball, now again, this is relatively, it's not new, but there is a definite sea change over the 2010s.
Well, yeah, you're hearing a lot more of this quarterback had the record for most yards in his time here at this school.
Andrew.
Because they're all, you're right, it's all spread offenses.
The only benefit you have from being around is that you've been around and you've seen things, right? So in the 2000s, the early, like that decade, from 2000 to 2010, the thought process was, and even beyond that, was rookie wide receivers are not going to contribute.
Right.
That it takes a while for them to get acclimated in the NFL. And that was certainly true during that decade.
Right.
And it's Randy Moss, right?
And the running backs, a lot of them were good right away because of the ground and pound style in college.
But seeing the sea change in college football, what's that tell you? You get great receiver play. You'll have advanced quarterback play.
Yep.
You know, when Peyton Manning changed the game a lot by a lot of his pre-snap stuff and really understanding the other side of the ball and where the blitzes were coming from, the pressures, calling out protections, and really changed that game in a lot of ways, everybody did it. Every quarterback now was taught that. When Gruden did the quarterback school, those guys were being taught all that stuff. It's there. So you can't make the assessment that you know, every year some crops are going to be barren. There's going to be somebody who's going to be good.
Exactly. And you're just watching the league right now. All these wide receivers. I know we point out Metcalf and Jefferson the most because these are the guys that the Eagles could have had.
Dude,
but look at the exactly.
I brought up
Chenault with the Jaguars.
Right.
Had a decent season and he had no quarterback.
Mooney. I brought up Darnell Mooney.
Yep.
Like all over the league you see this stuff.
I mean, A.J. Brown looks like he's a 10-year vet. He's in year two.
We're at Philly Brown in Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know, you got guys. And that's what frustrates me because it's like, are you paying attention? You're paying attention to the college, to what's going on in college?
Apparently not. Because then you draft Arthego Whiteside, which, all right, you would dress the wide receiver position.
Yeah, because Stanford plays that what? You watch what Stanford plays?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Ground and pound, right? Pro set offense.
Big tight ends come out of there, like Zach Ertz. Yeah.
Zach and Ventnor, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Zach.
What's up, man? How's it going?
What's up, buddy boy? What's going on?
Not too much, man. I don't really know how to feel. Like, I mean, I guess we had to move on from Doug, but I mean, Howie's just going to be making the same picks for different people. He's going to go, but it's not going to happen. So I'm kind of in limbo here. Like, I want to be excited, fresh start, but we don't exactly have a real fresh start. I don't know.
I understand it. Like, I get it. Like, in your eyes, you're going, well, that's great. That's the field. But what about the roster to be put on the field? That's not fixed.
Because the guy who's in charge of fixing it, I hear people go, oh, well, what if they trade back? I don't want him to trade back so he can make three more bad picks instead of one bad pick. They're like, oh, we get another. If we trade back, we get a second round, third round. Why? So we
Davion
Taylor and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside again?
Because here's what you're looking at right now. What you're expressing is your confidence is at an all-time low.
Yeah.
And so they, as the front office, that includes Howie and Jeffrey, have to understand that, hey, look, confidence is at a low. So instead of debating it, fix it. Right?
And I just need to see something.
You got Dorsey there, right? Like, he's a trusted voice.
Let him pick the draft.
Hold on. You get a coach that's got a clue, that's strong. And now you should be fortified. Does that make sense to you, Zach?
No, it does. It makes total sense. I just don't have, like you said, I need them to show me so I can get some confidence going in because I want to have confidence because the last time we won four games, we won the division the next season. And we didn't, I remember that year, we thought they were going to be terrible. And it was an incredibly fun year of football because we thought we were going to get this terrible Eagles team and they won 10 games. And I'm not getting that feeling this year. Like, even though I didn't have the feeling before that season, I don't know how they're going to.
What season are you talking about?
When they fired Andy, they brought in Chip.
But they won 10 games because, first of all, there was some talent there, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm not getting that feeling from this team.
Yeah, well, but that was, see, the problem with that was Fugazi, Zach, right? Like, because that was all about a completely different scheme that nobody had tape on, right? That's why that started out high and declined rapidly.
And it didn't last. And no, I'm not saying it was a good thing. I'm just saying the last time we were real, like looking at a season, we're like, man, this season's not going to be any good. It turned out not to be terrible, but I'm not getting that confidence.
Yeah, but
man,
but again, they're not going to win next year. I wouldn't be lost in that. That's something, Tunis, that, listen, I think it's pretty obvious you're not going to win next year.
Yeah, I mean, this roster is, how many times did we have to point it out during the regular season this year? That's not going to be fixed overnight.
No, I want the thing built the right way so it sustains.
Yeah, the only thing where I go, all right, they could be better is if Carson Wentz figures things out during the offseason, A, and B, the offensive line, Johnson and Brooks are healthy, Kelsey's back for another year, and now you just have to figure out your left side. Is it Mailata and Seumalo? Is it Dillard and Seumalo? Is it Mailata, Dillard, and somebody else at left guard? That's the only way I go, all right, this team's got a shot to win more than four games, is if the line is healthy and shored up. Wentz looks like he has a clue out there. And you still have Miles Sanders, right? So at least you still got that back. But your defense is still a mess, and your other skill positions.
You need a lot, man.
Oh, my God, yeah. I'm just saying I could see them win more than four games, but I don't see them going, 10, 11, 12 by any means.
No, but again, but that's not my focus for next year.
Right.
My focus for next year is laying down a foundation. That's what I need. So that maybe in 22, I'm in a better spot that I can compete. And then 23, if Carson's fixed, where's he at? What's he, 28 now? Now he's 31. That's still prime quarterback years. But again, I don't know. That's a long ways away.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a long ways away of who he is. Could be entering Hurts' prime.
Right. By the way, I've been doing some digging during this segment. It looks like there is video surfacing of Kyrie Irving out and about.
Oh, man, that's another mess.
Family birthdays were this past week. And now video has surfaced with, party and maskless.
Last night was rather ugly in Atlanta.
Yes, it was.
All right, we'll get to everybody. We'll talk about it straight ahead. Cause Radio Tunis, start the new year off right. You ready? And Jay Diet. So not only do you get yourself in not only lose weight, and you can lose it contractually, you ready? Guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days with an NJ Diet, but you get healthy. That's it. That's the most important thing. NJ Diet first uses your hair and saliva samples along with their bioenergetic scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements where the side effect is weight loss. It's called science, my brother. Then NJ Diet utilizes DNA testing to determine your ideal workout regimen, your ideal diet, specific needs for essential vitamins, plus many more metabolic factors so you keep the weight off. NJ Diet's all natural, no shots, no hormones, no surgery. Full supervision is provided every step of the way. You even get the doctor's personal email and phone number. NJ Diet has multiple locations, including close by in Cherry Hill and in Princeton. Don't want to leave your house? That's cool. They're available worldwide with live online video consultations. So call them now. Lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. It's contractually guaranteed. 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET, or go to njdiet.com. To lose the weight for good, that's njdiet.com.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Alright, 11:30. 11 o'clock hour, brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Alright, so in case you missed it, the Eagles will interview Robert Saleh. Remember, Saleh is the Niners defensive coordinator, so they've contacted the Niners to talk to him. There's a lot of talk about Saleh going back to Detroit, where he's originally from. Michigan, coach the Lions. But we'll find out. Jeff McClain's going to talk to us in about 10 minutes. So we'll, any other potential candidates that they're going to do. I know that they like Mike Kafka, who is the quarterback's coach in Kansas City. The Bieniemy thing is weird because he didn't interview well, apparently, in Atlanta. So I don't know where that stands with Eric. I don't know. I mean, the problem, see, the shame and the problem that you have when you coach under, when you're a coordinator under an offensive coach, particularly somebody like Andy, who is the play caller, the whole thing, like, they concocted, he and Doug concocted that, well, Doug called plays in the fourth quarter, the second half. I mean, come on. If you could see through that, you know that that didn't happen. You know Andy. If you know him a little bit, you know that didn't happen. But it's hard for guys, and like you got to be able to go in and wow people. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, Eric. There's some great college people out there. Now, would you look at Lincoln Riley?
I mean, he's obviously one of the hot names out there. He's also one of those guys that probably goes, eh, do I want to leave yet? Like, he's got
he's Oklahoma.
You know, he's got a cushy gig. He might not want to go anywhere. But it would be interesting to see if they if he were to come here, is it almost like what Arizona did, right, with Kingsbury and Murray? Now, they had to draft Murray. After, what was it, Josh Rosen was the first quarterback he worked with, but then they drafted Murray, and boom, there's your college connection. Obviously, Oklahoma, Jalen Hurts, Lincoln Riley was his head coach. If they bring him in, is there even a quarterback battle, or does he go, nah, Hurts is my guy? Well, I mean, that'd be interesting to see what would happen.
I don't know. I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, who knows how he feels about Hurts the next level? Just because it was college together doesn't mean he can look at Hurts and go, yeah, I loved him in college, but I don't know if he's going to be an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't know. I mean, I'm just giving you, do you go after some college guys? Like,
I've always liked the idea of the college because we've been seeing that a lot recently, right? You're talking about college wide receivers stepping in and doing well right away. We're seeing that with a lot of those offensive masterminds coming out of college and eventually, guys get figured out. Like I thought McVay in his third year, people were starting to figure him out. And then this year, you know, he proved me wrong. He made the adjustments as the head coach, and look, the Rams are still competing. They're still in the playoffs. So guys like that who have totally different offensive schemes coming out of college because they're running that spread system all the time, and that's where it's kind of transitioning into the NFL. I would be intrigued to see a college guy here. I really would.
Well, the college guys that everybody likes, Matt Campbell from Iowa State, Pat Fitzgerald from Northwestern. Apparently, Fitzgerald's not going anywhere. Both those guys are highly regarded. The thing that I would like about a college guy is they build programs.
Correct.
So you're a builder. Like, one of the things that if you go with this job, you're going to be able to build. And, like, it scares me off of a guy like Kafka. Now, Kafka went to Northwestern, and I don't know him, so I don't know if he's, you know, he might be this, like, brilliant dude. So,
right.
You know, I don't want to say no, but, you know, sometimes I don't think they need a first-timer. The only first-timer I really like is Dable, right, because Dable's been around. Again, when you work for Saban, Belichick, and then you're with Sean up in Buffalo, and you do what you do with Josh Allen. You know,
you got a nice little track record,
right? There. Plus, he's an upstate New York guy, right? Right outside of Buffalo, and Lake Erie kind of guy. So he would fit here,
right?
Like he would get it here. You know, it's funny. Daryl Morey is a great fit. You know, one of the reasons why, he's a Cleveland guy.
Right, the Cleveland sports ties.
So, you know, they realize in those kinds of markets where sports really matters, where it's Northeast or Upper Midwest, it's, you know, grizzled, and you're not so far Midwest where you have the Wisconsin kind of yawky thing. So, you know, that kind of guy would work here. Because I also think that's important. You got to have a guy that can understand and acclimate.
Yeah, it makes sense. It does.
I mean, it's down on my list, but it's still...
Who are the... So you're saying you don't think they need a first-timer. Who are some of the...
I wouldn't go first-timer.
Right.
I would go somebody who's been around, which is why I bring up the college build. I'm counting those guys... as veterans.
Oh, okay. So like a Lincoln Riley because he's been a head coach.
They built programs.
Right, okay.
Shane, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Shane.
Hey, what's going on, Anthony? How are you
doing?
What's
up, buddy?
Not much. I wanted to give a call because you asked earlier like how we all felt.
Yes.
I was on the phone with a buddy of mine yesterday, and I said the only thing that would give me pure joy to my heart would be hearing that Doug Peterson was fired yesterday. And I would let out the biggest woo in my truck as I'm driving down the Virginia Beach. And within 2 hours, my prayer was answered, and I'm happy. But then after hearing the press conference from yesterday and that painful one from last week, where it was a combination of Lori and Howie just giving us our resumes like we're on LinkedIn and Indeed, trying to update their resumes and tell us what they've done for us in the past, it was a joke. And there's a lot of what I've heard today from you and hearing even Mike yesterday with how angry he was, I agree with. And I wanted to throw, I have a question for you in regards to the draft and then the coaching, but so for the draft, I definitely agree with you with what you were saying about Devontae Smith going possibly to Miami, because I feel like I have this like weird, I don't know, feeling that they're going to try to match him back up with Tua.
Yeah.
And they obviously need a receiver because that's the one position that they were lacking. But if they miss, say they don't get them, either him or Chase, or they don't get like an offensive lineman. Is there any possibility you think that they're going to trade out of this pick?
I wouldn't, because I think you can get a cornerstone there. I mean, I'd like Surtain. I know he didn't have the best game last night. He got beat once in the end zone, but I do think he's got incredible skills. Corners are going to get beat. But he's a polished guy, man.
Oh yeah,
and you know, and like that to me is a guy that can play 10 years for you, and you know how valuable that is.
Oh yeah, and I said that to Devon and Tyler last week, where I said that if he's there, like they gave me the scenario, if he's there, would you take him? And I said absolutely, because you have Slay across from him, and you move Vontae back into the slot, like you take that position there, because then you can mold him into what you need. To be on the other side, because our secondary was very questionable this year. And then obviously from the previous year, giving up all those people letting go Douglas and Jones and then all the injuries. But so then I listen to you guys a lot, and I know how you emphasize the whole leader of men when it comes to bringing in a new coach. I personally like Sala from San Fran.
Yeah.
But I like my whole concern with him is, I don't know if it's something I've been reading into a little bit, but like Shanahan's like kind of like weary about giving him, like allowing him to take assistants with him, which concerns me. But then I also am on board with them going and getting the guy from Buffalo just because of seeing the progress that he's like pretty much given. I mean, Buffalo's had within the last year, you know what I mean? Especially with Josh Allen's progression.
Right.
And that's attractive. And like, I want that because after hearing Jeffrey yesterday talking about assets or whatever, all it kept on ringing in my head is they're going to try to trade one of them. But like me personally, I don't want to trade Carson just yet. I want to give them the year, like they like the Sixers are giving with Ben and Joel with a new coach. You know what I mean? Like, just give them a year. That's all I'm asking, you know what I mean? And
yeah, I think it's a smart thing to do.
Yeah, and one last thing before I let you guys go, because I know you guys have the interview. What do you think the chances of John Dorsey being able to stamp his name on this draft coming up?
Yeah, I think it'll be, and thank you, brother, I think he will definitely have a big say in it. He doesn't come here without a big say. But a lot of it's going to be with, you know, Jeffrey's got to back off, right? Howie's got to, and it can't be as collaborative, and the new coach has to have some real say. You know, listen, they're going to have it's going to be a number six pick, and it's imperative at the state of this roster that they have a boon draft. Like, I brought up to that point in Westbrook and Sheldon Brown and Lito Shepherd and Michael Lewis, like that. They need a draft like that to replenish. It's imperative. Joining us now from the Inquirer, Inquirer.com, does a great job covering his team. The one, the only, Jeff McClain. Jeffrey!
Anthony, what's up?
Oh, man. It never stops, brother.
A lot's up, right?
It's wild. All right, so before we get to the future and who's attractive and who you think they like, give me your overall read. Did Doug want to get the firing squad? Was it suicide by coaching staff? What or was it what? What's your read here?
Well, to answer your first question about Doug, I mean, I don't think Doug wanted to get fired. I think Doug wanted to return. But I do feel like he felt like, okay, at this point, he had every right to choose his staff and to make the big decisions that a coach typically makes. And, you know, enough is enough. And he stood his ground and said, okay, this is what I'm doing. And, you know, you can take it or leave it. And I guess we know how Jeffrey Lurie felt about that. But I do feel like
was that staff moving Press Taylor offense coordinator to protect his own? We've talked about this a lot about him being the play caller. There's just so much. You're not going to get a lot of qualified guys to work under him in that sense.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's certainly part of the dynamic there. And Doug, while he kind of did give away a little bit of the play calling last year here and there, I felt like that was more just to kind of give Press a taste. He was not willing to give it up. I mean, that's something that I think Doug really felt strongly about. And you're right. It does make hiring a top notch, at least someone who has a lot of experience, play caller into that role. And you look, I think Doug, the way he viewed Press was, you know, this is a guy that he brought up along and he was a mentor to him and he's been training him and felt like this is his moment to step up. It's a hard argument to make, though, and I could see certainly when Jeffrey was underwhelmed by that suggestion.
Yeah.
Looking at the way that Carson Wentz has regressed and the pass offense was about as bad as it's been in this team in about 20 years. It was the worst in the NFL if you're looking at, you know, yards per pass play. But it wasn't just Press. It was, you know, defensive coordinator. They didn't even interview anybody after the season. I mean, you know, but Matt Burke is, you know, knows the scheme. Jim Schwartz trusted him. He'd been a defensive coordinator before, although he didn't do very well in Miami. But you know, why not open up and interview outside candidates?
Right.
And that's just something that Doug didn't do, and I know that they were disappointed in.
Yeah, he didn't have the greatest Rolodex when it came to that stuff.
No, and, you know, Doug hadn't been in the league for very long, and that played a part in it, and I wrote this story a couple years ago, and it kind of came from just reading his book, Fearless, and, you know, just him about his doubts of being a head coach, but I just felt like Doug was always been, like, kind of a reluctant head coach. I think he liked it, I think he wants to do it, and I think he was pretty good at it for a period, but I don't know if he was well-equipped to do it for the long term. And I think to some extent that's what we've seen here. And that's part of the reason why he's out, but it's not all of it. And it's not, you know, all on him why this team regressed the way it did.
Right. So They already have put in permission to ask permission in San Francisco for Saleh. Give me some guys that you think, you know, are your kind of candidates and maybe the fit here and how it would go, what it would look like.
Yeah, Robert Saleh is an interesting candidate, the defensive coordinator. Eagles haven't had one of those since Ray Rhodes. So, you know, Jeff is obviously an offensive-minded guy, and that's what he's looking for. But Saleh would probably bring Mike LaFleur with him, who's the pass game coordinator under Kyle Shanahan. And if you're enamored with the Shanahan offense, and we know that Jeff and Howie are, they tried to get him last year as offensive coordinator. Kyle Shanahan blocked that. And they end up going kind of one of the secondary guys and getting Rich Scangarella, who really didn't really factor much this past year and is now out. But that, you know, he would be an interesting candidate. But he still have competition there. He's already interviewed a bunch of places and about to have a second.
He's from Detroit. You know, he's from that Michigan, upper Michigan.
I think it's going to be between Detroit and the Jets for Saleh.
I agree.
Now, there's also reports out there that they've requested to interview Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, and we've talked about him before. He's obviously played a large role in resurrecting Ryan Tannehill's career. And you have Todd Bowles. They've apparently reached out to Todd as well. Another defensive coordinator, but a great leader. And if he's got a good offensive coordinator, a good guy, you know, a guy can come in and play, call plays and has a good background in working with quarterbacks, because it looks like Carson Wentz is going to be staying, then that's a possibility. But to answer the second part of your question, I don't know if it's going to be an obvious guy. And a lot of times it hasn't been with Jeffrey. And the dynamic that they have in place here sometimes almost forces them to have to go in that direction. Now, they've done pretty well in that regard. Andy Reid and Doug Peterson end up winning a Super Bowl. But, yeah, I think we have to kind of play this out a little bit and see what happens and certainly how it relates to other teams and who they hire.
I think what drove fans crazy yesterday was this not taking responsibility or culpability for him and Howie and the rest of the personnel department over the roster and the drafts over the past years.
Well, yeah, there's no good way to answer that. Really, to be honest with you, if Doug's going to be held to this standard where just 3 years after you've won the Super Bowl, you're going to be fired, why isn't Howie held at the same standard? And Jeff didn't do a very good job of explaining that, because quite frankly, there's really no defending it. The regression of this team, and I'm now calling it the Great Regression, capital G, capital R.
I like that.
Because it's so...
It's like a recession, yes.
Yes, it's just so dramatic. You know, it's not just because Doug, I kind of lost his way, and lost his way with Carson, and that's not all on Doug, obviously. Carson has a large piece of that pie. It's because the roster isn't good, and that they've had poor drafts over the last, you know, 6 years, really primarily the last 4 years. And again, a lot of that has to do with Howie, but a lot of that has to do with Jeff, as I wrote in my column today, you know, and Jeff, in some ways, doesn't hold Howie accountable, because it would be holding up a mirror to his faults. And because he is more involved than people realize as an owner. And they've made bad decisions.
Yeah.
And
what role would Dorsey have here?
I think that's overplayed. They've brought similar type guys, former GMs, in before in the past, and they've, you know, just basically to write up players to give your evaluations on free agents to be or college prospects and just throw it into the pot of all the evaluations that they've gotten. And I'm not saying that Dorsey may not end up having a larger role, but to me that was a move made to grease the wheels for Howie's return. Meaning that, oh, well, Howie's kind of made the effort to improve and to look long-term, whereas Doug, and this is fair, and Doug didn't. And Doug was just kind of staying with the status quo. But again, I don't know how much Dorsey's going to have factored in. Fans are going to be like, oh, they got Dorsey on. And I mean, Howie still got final say. Jeff made that very clear. And there's still, you know, there's still a bunch of guys in there, apparently six future GMs, which was ridiculous to say. GM factory. It was almost a GM factory statement. Look, there are good guys. Andy Weidel's good. Ian Cunningham is good. They have some other really good guys on staff. But what's it matter if they're going to be six future GMs if you don't take their advice?
Yeah.
advice of the scouting department was draft Justin Jefferson, draft Jeremy Chinn, and they drafted Jalen Reagor, and they drafted Jalen Hurts because of Howie, to some degree, and because of Jeff, and because of the way Jeff has empowered Howie.
Yeah. And by the way, and Doug was not strong. And listen, like to me, you know how I feel. I thought he was a bad coach. I thought he was weak. And they need a CEO guy to come in here who is a big personality, who understands and is presidential and isn't worried about criticism. He's worried about task and is a leader. That's what they need.
Okay, but how does that big personality jive with Howie?
Well, I mean, listen, that's where Howie's got to do what's best for everybody and bring a guy, or Jeffrey's the guy who's making a hire. You know that.
Well, they got the big personality with Chip, and how'd that turn out?
Well, again, there's other, and again, you need CEO material.
Yeah, but I just feel like that they're gonna have a tough time getting that guy. Looks at the situation here. Yeah,
I grant you, it's a lot of tightrope walking, but that's still what you need. You know, I mean, until they get that guy, you're gonna have, you know, weak people, and you're not gonna win. Jeff, you're the best, buddy.
All right,
yeah, keep up the good work. We'll be reading you, on Twitter. All right. Let's take a quick TO. We'll come back and we'll analyze all your calls, analyze situations, say, get all your calls up. Hey, Parks Casino Sportsbook. Oh, man, it's the hometown sportsbook 4 for 4. Don't forget, because we talk about football all the time, right? And you got the games, divisional round, great games on the Saturday and Sunday. But tomorrow is a momentous day. It's hockey, baby. Yes, the puck drops. And we got some flyer action, yo. And you can follow it all on Parks Casino and take that sportsbook app home to you. Flyers 16-1 to win the cup. Yes, actually 18-1. It was 16-1. It's 18-1 to win the cup. You can check it out. We got Flyers, Penguins, Wednesday, 5:30. And you can bet on all the hockey action and the hoops and the football right there at Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Download the incredible Parks Casino and Sportsbook to your phone. Use the promo code Fanatic and a risk-free bet to $500. You got to be in Pennsylvania. You got to be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, coming up, we're going to give you a keyword. Y'all chance to win $500. That's right. And be qualified for the $10,000 grand prize. That's coming up momentarily. Andrew, is there, of all these names, you hear it, right? Now, Salah is the latest one. You hear all my names I'm throwing out at you. Is there anybody that strikes your fancy?
Salah definitely intrigues me. I thought that he was going to be a candidate maybe even last year. You know, after they got to the Super Bowl, and you know, there was, I'm sure he got a few phone calls, but they may have wanted to see him one more year as a defensive coordinator with San Francisco. So he's definitely a guy that intrigues me. And like you said, he needs to be a CEO. He seems like, when you talk about football guys, like, he's a stone football guy, right? You see him on the sideline.
Well, let me ask you a question. And again, I said this yesterday, and for obvious reasons, you know, I'm close with Spags and talk to him, you know, whatever. He's a friend of mine and a dear one. And I said, listen, I think he is a great football man, is a great leader and a great CEO, and he can come in here. He's got offensive guys and he can bring in from college that I know he has in his pocket to help fix Wentz and nurture Hurts and come in here. And he's won as a defensive coordinator in two other places. He had one chance before in St. Louis when he goes in. It's a horrible team. Their first year is a bad year. The second year he drafts Bradford with the number one overall pick. They make a run. They play Seattle, both under 500 for the chance to win the NFC West. Seattle goes on the win and beats the Saints the first round. The next year, Bradford gets hurt. He loses both cornerbacks, and then he's fired. So that was basically his first foray, and it wasn't, and I lived it with him. It wasn't a real fair spot for him to succeed. Like all these coaches that lose their job, Belichick lost in Cleveland, as you know. All these guys, second time around, they realize what they've done wrong. Castillo, right, understands. You look at what he's done in Washington. There is such a thing about a guy that's stabilizing force. If you want to go offense, I understand it, but I don't understand why you would go Salah over Spags. And I mean, I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a guy that should be on the list for the Eagles or for any team, really. I mean, like you said, the big thing is the connections too. And he could be that guy that comes in and is the CEO because he's been in the league for a long time. I mean, how long has he been in the NFL now? Right? Like, was he with the Giants prior to their first Super Bowl? I mean, he's been in the league for a long time, right? So he knows everybody that's around the league. He knows the workings of the league. So it makes sense. It would make total sense. And he could be that guy who's the strong defensive mind that also brings in a defensive coordinator as his own. And he's been on different teams, so he has all these connections all across the country. Yeah, I mean, I don't see why he should not be on any team's list, even the Eagles. He knows this area very well, obviously.
You know, I mean, that's why if you're going to go, like, I get it. You want to go offense and you want to go that route. I don't understand it, but I still think you need someone that's presidential to CEO. Now, there's a number of guys that fit that bill. You know, I do think Spags is one of them. You got guys who built successful programs in college. You got guys that, you know, if you look at Dable, you know, he's controlled that whole offense. He's in charge of that piece. Sean is a part of the game plan, but Sean delegates well. It's what makes him a great coach.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he should definitely be on the list. And you know, Dable's a strong candidate. I mean, that one just makes sense, right?
Well, the Allen Wentz comp, I brought it up.
Makes perfect sense.
For a whole year. Right. And then, you know, when you look at the guys running offense, I mean, it kind of makes sense. He's also from the upstate New York thing. I think that's real. I think whoever comes in here has to be, you know, has to be able to handle this stuff.
My biggest concern is, and I'll relate this to somebody local too. So, you know, Kafka's been one of those names out there, right? He's not an OC. Like, he hasn't even been a coordinator yet, right? He's just a part of a staff. And I always get concerned about that jump, right, from passing game coordinator to head coach. I go, I probably need this guy to be a coordinator before he's a head coach. And I will say that exact same thing because everybody wants to give him the job every single year, whether it's OC or head coach. It's the same thing. And I'm using Kafka first as my example to Deuce Staley. Like, I hear all this stuff. Deuce Staley should be the coach. You know, he apparently commands the room and stuff. All right. Like, maybe he could be. Maybe Deuce Staley could end up being the best coach of all time, for all I know. But all I know is, how do people get to this, you know, firm stance that Deuce Staley is a good coach because he's been around the league for a while, when his highest position has been assistant coach / running backs coordinator? And I can't help but say, look, even during games, I don't think he's doing a good job with the running backs rotation. So I don't get why people want to go with these guys who have never really been coordinators before. Same with Deuce Staley and Mike Kafka. I don't want to do that just yet. And I know Kafka is one of those hot names out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I know the same thing, that you do. Like, I mean, he's highly regarded by Andy. He's smart. He went to Northwestern. But I don't know. What do I know? It could be another Doug Peterson.
Yeah. What do I know about Deuce Staley, right? Like, I'm not bashing Deuce, but I hear all these people that go, Deuce Staley should be the next head coach. Why? What has he proven to you that he could do it? I mean, if anything, give him the OC job first. Yeah. I can't let him make a jump from running backs coordinator to head coach.
Yeah.
I can't have Kafka go from, passing coordinator to head coach, whatever his title is. I can't do that.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, people, Deuce is a familiar face.
Right.
And he's a rootable guy, so that's... Nobody knows unless you they'll know about Deuce.
They'll know. Yeah, they will.
But I don't know. Can they judge talent? What do I know? I mean, I thought they had some talent on the roster, players-wise, that they never recognized. No one. By the way, let's give away some cash.
Hello. 97.5 The Fanatics FU Money. Your chance to win $500 right now.
All right. Let's do it. Here's how you win some FU money, and that is from us, for you, FU, Fanatics users. Text the word reward to 45911 or enter it on the 97.5 The Fanatic app or at 975thefanatic.com. That's the word reward, R-E-W-A-R-D. One winner selected at random will win $500. Everyone that enters on the app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Get complete rules for this company-wide contest at 975thefanatic.com. It's all being presented by Adam Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Is your furnace useless? Get it. F-U. Get 0% financing for 6 years on an HVAC system from Adam Mechanical.
By the way, sources are telling Dan Graziano that the Eagles have asked permission to interview Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith as well.
Yeah, oh, he's the other hot one. He's the other hot one.
Yeah, all these are. We're going to get a lot of these names coming out.
Arthur Smith is going to, and he's already been, running around. See, the Chargers. So here's the thing: if you're Dable or Arthur Smith, do you like? Don't you like San Diego better or the L.A. Chargers better?
Probably, because you go look at this young kid, Herbert, who...
Right, you got a young talent, young squad.
Did great things as a rookie. Made some rookie mistakes, but he's a rookie.
Plus, you're coaching the second team there.
Yeah, your cap is not as awful.
Yeah.
It's a big part of it, even though Jeffrey Lurie said that should have nothing to do with it. Yeah. Coaches,
I don't know. Arthur Smith, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's good. Maybe he'll be a good coach.
Yeah, he could be. It's also nice to have Derrick Henry.
Well, yeah.
And
Brown.
And the ball off to Derrick Henry.
And Corey Davis is a nice player, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they got real weapons. Mitch, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Mitch.
Anthony, I called last week, first time caller. You ended our call saying, I need more Mitch, after I told you Peterson would be fired because Lurie had no choice.
You did. You called it, Mitch. I thought of you Sunday when it started to heat up, and I thought of your words. You predicted correctly. You read into the situation that Doug would be fired. I still think they should have fired. If you're going to fire him, I don't understand why they waited a week. But whatever.
Well, because he needed to think. Listen, I'm looking at the ESPN today, top headlines. Lurie, decision to fire Peterson, not about Wentz. And you heard all that. Yeah, this is that's another huge lie. Don't buy this. This is all about Wentz. This is about $180 million. This is about you had four good years. You had a stinker. And there's just no way you give up on that and ruin your team and handicap your ability to have a quarterback. Wentz is the starter. All this nonsense about it sounds like he might come back. No, Wentz is the starter. Over. And the head coach is going to be someone that understands that.
And can rehabilitate him. I agree with you. I think you're dead right about that.
It's done. And Dable's perfect because Wentz is a lot like Josh
Allen. Yeah, you know,
Allen.
That, yeah,
and he knows Hurts, and Hurts will be back as the backup. And all this talk is fun, but it's over. And Howie is going to get another year, and if he poops the bed in the draft again, they'll readdress it again. But
I think you're right on. You were proven correct, and I think you're still correct on everything else in the future. I think you have good sensibilities.
Yeah, well, thank you. And the only other thing I'll leave you with is that, I don't know Kafka. It sounds like a Dougie too, but if he's got more personality, leadership isn't a passive aggressive jerk, okay, I'd interview him. But the Bieniemy thing doesn't make sense to me just because he and Deuce are kind of the same guy, right? They except Deuce knows this culture, knows this team. I would, if you're going to go Bieniemy, I'd go Deuce.
See, here's the problem. It's impossible to tell you the role of Bieniemy, the same way with Doug, when you're coach and Kafka, because you're coaching under Reed, right? Who is the play caller, the offensive designer, right? Like, he designs the scheme, the plays. Does he get input? Yeah, but he's the guy. He's the architect of the thing.
Yeah, no, I'm not big on Bieniemy. I'm not big on Deuce, but if. And I'm definitely not big on a college coach. We went that route. I don't want to do that.
See, this is where you and I part company. Because a college coach, to me, you just picked the wrong one. And by the way, he had decent ideas. His biggest problem was he was stubborn and personality, correct. But if you built a program, I think that's CEO material.
Well, okay, to your point, if they get the right one, okay. I don't know that Lincoln Riley's not going to be another pain in the ass. But
Matt Campbell is a really smart guy. So it's Pat Fitzgerald. Two guys that, now, I don't know if you get them. I don't know if they're interested to come to the NFL. But both those guys are smart. Both those guys have built programs, are sharp, something to think about.
Now, I'm going to predict. So I'll make my second prediction. We'll see if I can go 2-2. I think they're going to go hard to the hoop for Dable. He's a Northeast guy.
I think that's the quarterback. Yeah, that would be my number one choice.
Me too. Yeah. It's just perfection. And hopefully these two nincompoops at the top will sit back now a little bit and like let people do their jobs. But the other thing I wanted to say was I disagree with somebody I love, the guy you just interviewed, the writer.
Jeff McLean.
Jeff McLean. I disagree with Jeff. I think that Doug absolutely wanted to get fired. He's got two. He gets paid. He gets out of here. There's
I agree with that. I don't think, thanks, Mitch. I don't think that it's a slam dunk that he didn't want to get fired. Now, again, I termed it suicide by coaching staff. Right? I believe the reports that are coming from him, right? Those reports that people say Doug was tired of people telling him what to do, I believe that.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, it sounds like it's coming right from him.
Right. I think that's true. And a lot of it comes down to, personnel, which is what you know, Jeff reported yesterday, but it also came into the coaching decisions too, and the guys on the staff. And, you know, we read off the names that were reportedly, you know, mentioned, and I'm sure that's coming from somewhere too. Like, you know, we've talked about it. We joked about it. Corey Unlin coming back. The dude was a terrible defensive backs coach, and you want him to be your defensive coordinator because he's one of your guys from the past. That's a problem. And so Jeffrey Lurie probably goes, hey, Doug, listen, man, like, with all due respect, these guys ain't it. And Doug's probably like, well, stop telling me what to do. It's like, well, I mean, Jeffrey Lurie's probably also trying to look at his best interest of the team.
You know what's funny, right, is I look at him, and I'm like, wow. Like, this dude who is, this is the new norm.
Right.
Right? Now, you know what's hysterical? Is that, this is so new. I think about this. I want you guys to chime in here on the whole, just the story of it is amazing. 3 years ago, so 4 years, like, Doug's the coach, right? He's the seventh choice, basically.
Right, right, exactly.
He comes in here, and some of the decisions he made, game decisions, fourth and whatever, and going for it, blah, 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 blah. He was on the hot seat. Let's remember, after his first year.
Yeah.
He was on the hot seat.
Remember, Harbaugh was also on the hot seat in Baltimore. And I remember saying right away, fire Doug, bring in Harbaugh right now.
Right. That he was going to be a one and doneer. That was a possibility.
Yep.
And then, if you remember, all the players liked him. And when they won what game was it? The first game, right? They were like carrying him off the field.
Right.
All that, like, you know. But he was making goofy things. The Giants game, he went for fourth and six and all this stuff. And somehow, you know, the players were like, leave the poor guy, I'll give him a shot, right?
Hey, didn't he get a Gatorade bath?
Like, that was it. That's the Gatorade bath, not the carrying off the field. You get the Gatorade bath.
Jake Elliott got carried off the field. Right. 61 yarder.
And I'm going, hey, guys, not a moron, but he's not a head coach. Come on, this dude's not a head coach. And then everything he did, and how he did, right, comes up, man. Again, I used to throwing the bones, right? Shooting dice. I use that analogy because it's apt.
Right.
Everything, my man was making money for people in that sense, right? Each year, he's got control of the dice. Yeah, Doug, going crazy. Doug's a genius. Remember Mike Lombardi, who worked for the Patriots, wrote the book, a very sharp guy. He had ridiculed Doug. Oh, this guy's not a head coach.
After 2016, yeah.
Right, he's like, this dude's not a head coach.
And then
coach.
He was public enemy number one.
Right, even though Mike Lombardi was really right. Like, Doug was never a coach. And I think that was part of the whole realization where he was like, I don't need this. I like calling plays. And if he ever gets another job, it'll be as an OC where he calls plays. But I would not be surprised if Doug Peterson never coached again in the NFL.
Really? Wow, that's interesting.
Think about it. Andrew, it makes sense. All right. What do we take from that? Like, what do we take over the last 3 years? It's the most bizarre thing I've ever lived through in all sports.
It is crazy. Now, I'll also throw this out there. Obviously, today's Big Eagles Day. Doug got fired yesterday. Sixers report. A rumor.
Oh, my God.
For a trade.
All right, hold it.
Oh, yeah.
I need to digest it, all right? So, let's talk about this proposed report, this report of a proposed trade next. And I need some time to digest it or prepare myself for it because I know who it's involving. I can only imagine. Let's talk DraftKings, shall we? From collegiate to professional sports, the sports calendar is in full swing, right? College hoops, NBA, and we got our books, the NHL tomorrow. There's no better place to get in all the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To celebrate this year's football playoffs, the divisional round, DraftKings is giving all new players the chance to bet on any of this weekend's professional football games at 100-1 odds. That's right. All you got to do is bet a dollar on any football game this weekend. Your team wins. You cash $100. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code FANATIC when you sign up and get 100-1 odds on any football game this weekend. That's code FANATIC for new players to get a shot at $100 on any football action this weekend for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply. Partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Don't damn
power! I'll be leading the search. I always do. We'll have, for sure, Don Smolenski, Howie, key personnel people involved in this. It'll be multiple people involved in it, but and we have relationships with different people to get information about any candidate that we probably want to look into. It's a multi-pronged process.
That's the last thing people want to hear is that. That's for sure. We got a winner! Yeah, baby!
Yeah!
Ryan McCarthy of Glen Olden. He won our station-wide contest, our company-wide contest. All the radio stations in the Beasley Media Group. My man Ryan was a winner.
That's awesome.
$500. Nice! And he's eligible for the grand prize of 10 grand.
That's huge.
And look, if you enter it, you enter the contest, you're automatically entered. FU, yeah. Baby. So Ron got a little FU. He's a Fanatic user.
That's awesome.
They got a little FU Cassions. That's great. That's fantastic. And don't forget, that's right, our contest is brought to you by Adam Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Is your furnace useless? FU, furnace useless? Get 0% financing for 6 years on an HVAC system from Adam Mechanical. All right, Andrew, you kept me waiting long enough. What is the story here?
All right, so I will start off by saying this, and I'm not bashing the guy by any means, but Kevin O'Connor, who covers the NBA. Yeah. Oh, is he I don't know if he's from Boston.
I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking
of
thinking
of Mannix.
Right, yeah. Right.
Boston, the disdain in your voice. No, Kevin O'Connor is a...
Yeah, I know. The former he was part of a team.
Oh, he's with the Ringer. No, right. He was never with a team. No, he's just... Right. He's a guy that was part of the Ringer blog when it first started. He has a big NBA following, but I'll just say this. He puts out a lot of reports that typically don't come to fruition. I'm not taking away any of his credibility. I'm just saying there's a lot of times where there's a lot of speculation, okay? But it's a name that the Sixers have been tied with for, 2 years now? Bradley Beal. So now apparently, because things are falling apart a little bit for Washington very early on in the season, they might want to move on from Beal again, which, I don't know, I feel like this name has been out there for 2, 3, 4 years. But according to Kevin O'Connor, 6 teams are in on Bradley Beal, one of them being the Philadelphia 76ers. Question is, who's the trade piece?
Question is, do you care? I mean, Bradley Beal.
Tyrese, it's been nice knowing you. Yeah. You have to. It's the youngest piece that would entice Washington.
Yeah, or unless you trade Ben.
Would they want Ben and Russell Westbrook on the same team? Probably not. Unless you move on from Westbrook, too. You can't have Westbrook and Simmons. Yeah. That'd be, ugly basketball.
Yeah. Well, I would think they would move Westbrook if you're going to move Beal. You're not going to build around Russ, are you?
No. But are you building around Simmons? I mean, I don't know.
Wow, you don't even think he's a build-around piece?
You could put a roster around him, like all these shooters. No, I can't go Ben Simmons franchise player.
No, but all-star player, I mean.
Yeah. Is that going to win?
Well, but you got to start from somewhere. So you're saying you'd rather have Tyrese than Ben?
No. I'd rather have Ben with Beal.
No, if you're Washington, you'd rather have Maxey than Simmons.
Maybe.
Really?
I don't know. I mean, you give up more. It's not just Maxey. It's pick, you know, probably a couple throw-in players.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean,
let's do it.
Listen, I love that kid. But if you're able to get Bradley Beal, jeez, I'm about to curse.
60 spot the other day.
Elite. Man, you want to talk about come to the finals, man. Oh, that's a title. What happened?
So that's out there right now.
I don't even want to talk about it. That scares me. That would make me too happy. Bradley Beal on this team. With Embiid?
Yeah.
I mean, game you want to talk about, oh my God. I mean, that would be amazing.
You giving up Simmons for Beal?
I mean, I would have to think about it. I would. And I don't want to trade Ben, you know right. that. But, man, I mean, Beal's legitimate.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know? I mean, wow. Holy moly.
So that's out there right now.
You know? Wow. Wow. That's wild, man. I mean, see what you did?
I got you thinking.
Now I'm thinking.
Yep. Sorry.
There's something about the Sixers, right, that I lose myself. You know? I want that so bad, that title.
Well, yeah, and you see such greatness from some of these players.
God. By the way, 12 o'clock hour brought to you by Service First Heating and Air Conditioning. Get 0% financing for 72 months and a $500 rebate when you purchase a complete heating and cooling system from Service First. Learn more at servicefirsthvac.com. All right, let's go to John. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, John.
Yo, what's going on, man?
What's happening, Johnny?
Listen, man, I'm just laughing because you're right. Doug's been playing with house money from the jump, rolling the dice. And then after he won the Super Bowl, you couldn't tell him nothing. You know, 4th and 6, hey, yeah. Let's just go for it.
Right. Like, he's a dude who's on the corner rolling dice.
Yo, and it's crazy dice. Because it would be 4th and 6, and what did he do? Oh, let's go 12 personnel, too tight. Yeah, all right, turnover. And then we got to hear the announcer talk about, oh, this guy is, you know, he's a gambler. Nobody's going to hear that, man. Right. And, you know, I like you. Dable's the guy for me. But if you're going to give Kafka an interview, you got to at least interview Eric Bieniemy because
I think
he brings culture. Like, if you look and watch Kansas City, he's the guy in Mahomes' setting who gets in people's faces, who wants results. And the Eagles have lacked one thing, and that's discipline. And I think that is something that hurts us. We watch our team do the same things, you know, week after week. For example, the Giants game, Daniel Jones burns us. We play him again. The first series, he burns us again. That's discipline. And that comes from coaching and building culture. And I do agree with you on Matt Campbell. A lot of people don't realize that he's actually out-coached Lincoln Riley a couple times when they played. Most recently this year, they beat him. And, you know, they could have beat him in the Big 12 championship. So he's a guy that I like. You're the only person that I know that has brought his name up. So hopefully you can get on Lori's hotline and let him know what we need.
I got to tell you, John, where you been, man?
Hey, man, listen.
How come
man,
you don't call?
I work from home now, man. So I got a little time, and I saw you guys on. You guys are the best. And just a Sixers point real quick before you get me out of here. I'm a Heat fan, as you know. I'm not a Sixers fan, but I'll say this. I want Bradley Beal. You guys should want Bradley Beal. And if it takes Simmons to get Bradley Beal, then you guys should just drive up 95 and drop him off. Because Bradley Beal with Embiid can make something shake in the Eastern Conference. Because that kid is a bucket.
May I ask? Because you are you're a great sportsman. You know your sports. I appreciate that. as a fellow sports geek, what do you do?
Oh, I'm a dean at Mastery Charter, and I coach football and I coach basketball
That's
as well.
That's awesome.
So, you know, trying to get the kids, make a difference. But one day.
I love that, John.
One day, GM, OC, something, I'm telling you, man. So, and best believe, I won't be calling Dougie P plays and not using my personnel correctly, because there's no reason why the Eagles should have all this talent and struggle to.
Now, are you a disciplinarian type of dean?
Oh, I don't play. My kids will tell you. Mr. Lay does not play around. On the field, in the hallway, even on Zoom right now. I get on and cameras pop on and, you know, they're knocking out their work. So they know what time it is when I come.
I love it. Oh, the dean. You got to listen, you're just known as the dean from now on.
Listen, they say Lay's coming and the hallway clears out. They know what time it is, man. I love you guys, man.
You're the best, man. Take it easy, brother. How about that?
That's also the dean.
I like the dean. The dean don't play.
So we bring up the Beal thing, and he, you know, the dean wants Beal. But now we got all the crazy trades coming in. And this from Alex Throne on Twitter. Maxi and Ben for Beal and Bertans.
No, I'm telling you, what? No, I wouldn't do that. Why are you going to put Ben in there for Bertans? Get the hell out of here. Come on. No,
he's the Bertans.
No, stop. Listen, Simmons is the perfect. You have Beal and Bead. Now you got Simmons would average 15 assists with that team. Come on.
You shake at the one.
No, stop.
Beal at the two.
No, shake.
Harris three.
Shake off the bench. Shake's not a point guard. Stop it. Call Mike Garofolo.
Oh, yeah.
We got Mike on.
I got these trades that are running through my head now.
You fit these goofy trades.
I know.
Give me Beal, yes. But I don't want to throw Ben in. Now all of a sudden he's a throw in? Oh, yeah, my exactly. God. Guys, you're down
He's a throw in now. He's the Michael Kendricks and the Jahlil Okafors.
Beal, I'm gaga over Bradley Beal. But I'm not throwing Ben in anything. All right. I want to get Mikey Garofolo up here because I want to go through the candidates. He's very well versed in the candidates for the job. So I want to kind of focus on that. From the NFL Network and South Philadelphia's own, Mike Garofolo on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Mikey. Hello, Mikey. Hello.
I'm here. I'm shaving.
You shave? Yeah, take me off speaker, cause you sound like you're in the bathroom.
Well, I am in the bathroom. I'm shaving. I forgot about this. We're on air at 1 o'clock. So
breaking my balls from the bathroom. You of all people know how radio works.
But I'm not.
All right.
Hold on. I'm not in the bathroom like I'm not, you know.
I know, but there's an echo.
Well, we don't have any rugs in our bathroom. You want me to put my wife on? We can do a three-way call. And you can ask her about the lack of rugs.
Mother, tell me about the candidates. All right. Who do you like? Let's go through them. Where do you think they're all going to wind up? The musical chairs. I can't believe we're sitting here talking about this. Pretty amazing. But let's
Hold on. Are you asking me about other teams? You don't care about other teams. You care about the Eagles, right?
Well, you know who I care about. You know what I care about. But whatever. I want to know Dable. All right.
Chargers.
That no shot here.
I think it's a little late to the party, right?
I understand. If you're going to make this move, how come they didn't do it last week?
Email jeff.lurie@eagles.com. That's probably not his email address, but, you know, that's the guy you should bring it up with. Because, you know, yeah, I think there's a little bit of a worry. And look, I mean, I know he talked about this being a great destination, but fact of the matter is, from a national perspective, they're going to look at this and say, they just ran out a guy who won the Super Bowl 3 years ago, first Super Bowl in franchise history, and they run him out.
Okay.
Run them out?
That's what happened, right?
I mean, I don't know about that. I think there's some merit there.
But that's the way they're going to look at it. Right?
Nah, not everybody looks alike.
I understand.
Not everybody who's plugged in.
And what are you taking issue with? You taking issue with like the details that are going on here?
Go ahead. Let's go through it. I don't want to semantics. We talked this morning, so we had our conversation this morning. All right, keep it going. Salah. Detroit.
No, I think he's out. I think he's out in Detroit. I think it's Jets, maybe Jacksonville, or back to San Francisco as a defensive coordinator.
Wow, so you know they're interviewing him here, but you don't think it's serious. All right. No. Todd Bowles, Temple Todd, is getting an interview here.
A lot of respect for Todd Bowles and the Eagles organization. A lot of respect.
Temple Todd. I like Temple Todd. He's a CEO type.
Yeah, a lot of respect, Anthony. A lot of respect.
Let's keep going down the list.
Uh-huh.
Kafka, Mike Kafka, Kansas City quarterbacks coach.
Another acorn off the tree of Andy.
Yes.
I think he can play. Yes, I think he can play for sure. He's highly thought of. For sure in that Eagles organization and thought of as a future. You know, it's all about these guys. Oh, future head coach. Well, at some point, somebody's going to make him a head coach in the present. So, and listen, Jeffrey Lurie hired Andy Reid as a quarterback coach to be the head coach.
I know that. Yeah.
Not unheard of that you could skip over the coordinator position and be successful in Jeffrey Lurie's organization making that jump.
Bieniemy, speaking of Kansas City.
Yeah. Starting to think that it might make sense for Houston and Nick Caserio to go down that road to appease Deshaun Watson, right?
Right.
Because that's what they're going to want to do. I don't think he gets traded, so I think Caserio is going to have to mend fences there. But if he gets shut out, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Wow, if he gets shut out again?
Yeah.
All right. College guys. Is it Urban Meyer, any shot at him in Jacksonville?
So he's like dipping one toe in the water, apparently. He's not diving in yet. And, you know, you get the sense that if he's going to do it, he would have jumped at it, right? And it would have been done, and you never would have heard a word about it. So I think Jacksonville is starting to sense that, you know, maybe he's not going to go all the way in on this one, and they may have to go elsewhere. So if Urban doesn't make the jump, listen, it's got to happen today. It's got to happen today. He's done with his college football responsibilities. They got a college search or coaching search they got to go through here. I would expect to find out one way or the other shortly about Urban Meyer.
All right. Well, you got to follow with us, NFL Network, Comcast Business Hotline. All right. These are long shot guys. Guys, I like Matt Campbell from Iowa State, Pat Fitzgerald from Northwestern.
Both seem like they're sticking. Fitzgerald showing no interest to this point of, you know, really diving into an NFL situation. Campbell, I believe the same, pulled out of the Jets search. So looks like it'll be at least another year before he enters the NFL. And I think Fitzgerald sticks in Northwestern.
All right. Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma.
So he and Howie have developed a relationship, right? It's been reported that he reached out. You know, I just, is this the one that he jumps for? Is this the one that he's going to make the move to the NFL for with a lot of uncertainty surrounding the situation right now? I don't know. I mean, it would be another, and listen, this is what I go back to, right? Chip Kelly did not work out in the NFL, but he was the guy that was highly sought after and every NFL owner wanted him and how he was able to kind of land that plane. If you're asking me somebody that could talk a guy into taking a job despite the fact that they're in salary cap hell right now and they've got a powder keg of a quarterback situation, and you go back to, again, what I said, even though you disagree with it, that somebody might look at it and say, I'm going to go take a job where the guy got fired 3 years after he won the Super Bowl. If you're asking me who could talk somebody out of those concerns, I think it's Howie Roseman, to be honest with you. And listen, I mean, look. Again, this is what we go back to from his role as a general manager. Have they done a good job of compiling talent the last couple of years? No. Does that fall on his head as the GM, as the guy with the final say?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Yes. But there's more to a GM's job than that. It's about navigating through difficult situations, which they certainly are in right now. I think he does an underrated job of that right now, and maybe facing the biggest challenge ever. I mean, coming back from getting fired was a really tough situation. I think this one's infinitely tougher. Let's see how he can wiggle, bob and weave, get himself and this team out of this situation right now.
All right, finally, I got to do it just because my own volition. Spags, got any chance?
He's
a CEO.
Listen, you know how I think on that. You know how you, and I also, see, here's the problem. He's still got the stench of that stint with the Rams on him. And the problem is you had an owner who just wasn't involved and was only caring about moving the team at that point. It was a bad situation. But, you know, defensive coaches, I feel bad for them because they usually only get one crack. And if it's not good.
But look at Ron Rivera.
Did a great job his first time as head coach. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. I hate to say that. I hate it because I know he could get in as a head coach and do a much better job than he did with the Rams. But I also know how this league thinks.
I
would give him a shot. I would give him a shot.
Yeah.
I think defensive coaches, but and Lurie talked about it yesterday. You know, he didn't rule out a defensive coach, but he made it seem like he wanted an offensive guy, which is nothing new when you listen to Jeff Lurie. I think many owners are overlooking good defensive head coaching candidates and making huge mistakes in doing that. I'd give Spags another shot. Players love him. He does a good job of getting them to buy into what he wants to do. I think he could be a head coach in this league again for sure.
All right, last thing. You got a gun to your head. All right. Who's might not be the first time. Who's the who's going to get the job?
I have no idea. I have no earthly idea. And you want to know why I know? Because they're scrambling right now.
I know.
They didn't expect to be doing a head coaching search.
Yeah.
So they're absolutely scrambling and gathering info. And, you know, it may look like, oh, they've already got their request in, so they've got their ducks in a row. They did not expect to be doing a head coaching
search. Well, then what happened? Right in 60 seconds, what happened?
The owner who made Doug Peterson fire the offensive coordinator last year tried to dictate coaching staff again. Doug wasn't having it. Doug's gone. And that's the problem. When the coach fires his coordinators, it's the last thing before he's gone. So he did it last year, and I thought, well, wait a second. They already played that card. What's going to happen next year? Here's what happened next year. He tried to keep the status quo, and they said, no way. And they is Jeffrey Lurie. Listen to your audience. Howie Roseman, Don Smolinski, Jeff Lurie. That's the triumvirate, right? That's the three big voices in the organization. Yeah. I believe it was only one, Jeffrey Lurie, that wanted Doug Peterson fired.
Yeah.
All right. That is my read on the conversations that I have had.
Gotcha. All right, my brother. Listen, go on the air. All right, get out of the bathroom.
All right, I'm out.
All right, see you. Mike Garofalo, NFL Network, Comcast Business Hotline. I want to talk to you guys a big hour ahead. I want to just put the Beal conversation into the mix. What do you want as your head coach? I've given you all the candidates. Where are you going? We got to get a poll going somewhere. Who do you want? Here we go. It's been oddly quiet from that standpoint. And I need to find out why. Let's talk about Parks Casino, shall we? The incredible 4-for-4 hometown sportsbook and casino. Parks Casino, Street Road, Bend, Salem is how you get to. Now, you could take that amazing sportsbook that we're at on Cousins Corner and bring it home to your couch. Oh, yeah. Right there to your couch. You can check it out. They got all the good stuff. Now, here's the deal about Parks. If you go to parkscasino.com/PA, you use the code FANATIC. You can get a risk-free bet up to $500. The website's got all the details, and they got everything, man. The hometown, man. You want hometown hockey? Well, Flyers 18-1 to win the Stanley Cup. I think that's worth a ten spot. You got Sixers. Maybe you do the cup title parlay. Oh, that's a nice one. Since we're all, I'm on the Embiid MVP train. Check all that stuff out. All your hometown wages right there. Parks, Casino, and Sportsbook. Check it out. You're going to be 21. You're going to be in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. Beers with Bob. This and every Tuesday night at 6.
Presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. More ways to win.
Bob Cooney and Andrew Salchunas go around the world of sports, bringing you updates and breaking news. Plus, all the betting lines you need. It's Beers with Bob on 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia. WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia. A Beasley Media Group station. 76ers basketball.
Ben Simmons to Joel. Bang! Two-hand jam.
Flyers hockey.
Carter Hart made the save. The bouncy puck still free. Hart's got to make another one.
And Anthony Gargano. Weekdays from 10 to 2.
Oh, man.
Plug in. 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
One o'clock across the Delaware Valley. Man, this is bizarre. I still can't believe it. Feels surreal. Like, here's the thing that's so weird about it. Is that, yeah, like, they win the Super Bowl 3 years ago, and there's a new head coach. Now, it makes sense to me.
But at the same time, doesn't.
Right. Does that, right.
I mean, so.
Categorize exactly like when Mike says, well, they ran a Super Bowl winning coach out of here. I go, well,
it wasn't that great.
I mean, was that for real?
But you and I and Philadelphia sports fans live it every day, right? So some coordinator for the Tennessee Titans may go, wow, this dude just won a Super Bowl 3 years ago. They ran him out of town and they want me to apply for that job. Why would I do that? That guy doesn't live it every day. Brian Daboll doesn't live what the Philadelphia Eagles live every day. They don't see it. Right. Now, when they have their interview, Howie may explain to them, you know, this is why it happened. Because if that would be a question. You know how when you get interviewed, you sometimes want to have questions yourself?
Well, yeah.
That would be a question I had. Because if I didn't live it every day, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, you go, well, what,
hey,
happened?
Yeah, what happened here? Didn't they win the Super Bowl for you 3 years ago?
Yeah, but see, but here's the thing. You know people around the league, right? Like, you understand, like, you know people. It's a smaller fraternity than you think. You have your own agent. Like, you're able to understand what the deal is, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, everybody has an idea.
I mean, it's weird. So, this is something that I kind of looked into yesterday. Well, I didn't look into it. I just thought, I was like, oh my God, do you know that Doug only lasted two more seasons than Chip? Like, think about that for a second. The dude won a Super Bowl and he only lasted two more years than Chip.
Yeah, I know he won a Super Bowl, but does that mean, like, Brian Billick never coached again?
Right. Now he coached 10 years with Baltimore, something like that?
Yeah.
Whereas Doug only got five. Like, to me, and here's one thing, and you know how I feel about Doug, but I do look at it like, all right, this roster's depleted. It's awful. Is there any chance whatsoever that this was so, like, an outlier season almost? and then you go, wow, you made all these changes based off of one really bad year. I know the last 2 years weren't great. 9-7 wasn't all that great. So is this a kudos to the Eagles for realizing this is not going to get any better, so let's get rid of them? Because I'm sure there are people out there that go,
listen,
well, what, he had one bad year, so they get rid of him?
Yeah, I guess there are people. I just didn't think he was a good coach. I mean, I don't know what to say. I never thought he was a good coach. So I can't feel that way. Like, I'm sure there are other people that go, hey, you know, you won the Super Bowl. Well, there's a lot of factors that went involved.
Right.
And one of those factors was it was blue snow. It was a comet. I mean, come on.
Right, but people applying to the job may not look at it that way.
All right, well, I know a lot of these guys, and these guys are pretty plugged in. So, I don't know. Whatever. Does it matter? The other thing I have is, what do you think? Like, what's everybody thinking about right now? Like, I'm looking at it, and, like, we got a nice group of callers, but it's been a weird day.
Yes.
Maybe it's because I feel the same way. It's so weird that you really don't know how to feel.
Yeah, you go.
And then all of a sudden, I'm like, I got to think about candidates. I'm still trying to process what happened.
And you mentioned it, a lot of people are saying that, you know, Doug's like a martyr, right? Like
a martyr.
Excuse me. There's now division in the fan base that say, well, it's not really division. A lot of people, 97% to be exact, because of the Mike Missanelli poll from yesterday, want Howie fired too, right? So now people are angry with the organization, not just because Doug got fired and he was a Super Bowl head coach. I think a lot of people wanted to move on from Doug. But I think people were waiting for the next move.
Right.
And that next move never happened.
Right.
And people can't come to terms with that. I still can't come to terms with it. Right. Jeffrey Lurie's press conference yesterday, well, he was 35 minutes late, and then he spoke out of his rear end for 30 minutes. And I go, why should I feel good about this organization moving forward?
Well, but again, you shouldn't.
No.
But you shouldn't. And here's the thing that Jeffrey Lurie and Howie and Don and, you know, the guys that are there now, they're now, this is not a debate, right? People don't feel good. They looked at the drafts. They went, drafts suck.
Right.
They look at the roster. They go, the roster sucks. Yeah, Doug was a bad coach, but the drafts suck and the roster sucks. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do? So people go, I got no faith. And it's up to those guys now to go, all right, well, I got to show you. I got to win you back.
Right.
That's the only recourse. There's no like, hey, well, we won the Super Bowl 3 years, this and that. This, we're upset. The town's upset, and it's got no confidence.
And because a lot of people can look at it, not just this year went bad, but the next couple of years don't look all that bright. I love how Jeff likes to do the whole, Jeff Lurie, that is, hey, look at what we did 3 years ago. All right, well, I can also look at this current roster and look at 3 years ahead of now. And I go, well, you based off your track record, your awful drafting, your free agent signings that, yes, hit in 2017, but really haven't hit since, how am I supposed to expect that you can fix this now in 3 years? You can give me the 3 years ago thing all you want, but I'll fire back with you. What about next year? 2 years from now? Three years from now?
Again, this isn't a debate, right? That's what they need to realize. That Jeffrey Lurie isn't going to win you over now, by what he says, right? Jeffrey Lurie needs to get the right hire, and whoever's making decisions with the draft and the personnel, Howie at the front of the line, need to get it right. Right? Yep. I mean, that's the bottom line. And people aren't going to take everybody's word for it. That's the bottom line. I mean, it's not that deep.
No, it's not.
But here's the thing. See, everybody wants to be loved. I understand it. We had a caller who was dead on, Dwayne from Richmond, at 10 o'clock this morning. You know what he said? He said, I don't want to hear about nothing. This is about business. That's it.
Yep.
It's about business. I don't want to hear your resume. I don't want to hear about Super Bowls. I don't want to hear blah, 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 blah. This is about business. And that's the truth. You're not gonna win some popularity vote now.
Right, exactly.
And you're not gonna go, oh my God, how come I'm not getting love? I won the Super Bowl 3 years ago. Well, when the coach of that team is out and the state of the team is what it is, we expect.
Mm-hmm.
Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Drew.
Yo, what's going on, man?
How you feeling, brother?
I'm good. I mean, I'm good, but I don't know how to feel, man, because it's looking real discouraging. You know that, what I'm hanging my head on, I feel like Jeff Lurie, all the guys that he has hired to come in, they do have immediate success. You know what I mean? Chip Kelly has success right away.
Right.
Andy Reid had success right away. Doug did have success right away. And, you know, I like Doug. I think I like Doug. But now that I'm looking at it, it's like, and I don't know how much of this goes into, you know, how well the team will be. But was it the coaching? Like, you know, I know we keep getting on Howie about not being a good talent evaluator. But if he's really bringing in talent in there and it's not being coached right, because now we're seeing Wentz fall down. We're seeing the receivers never really progress. The D-line kind of, you know, underachieved. You know, they underachieved in a lot of different areas. So, like, what is that? Is that the coaching? Right. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. It's like, was that what Jeff Lurie's looking at? Like, yo, look, yeah, you won the Super Bowl, but you really haven't, you know, got this team better. You know what I mean? You really haven't in any of the areas. The quarterback play, the receiver play, where have we gotten better? You know, and if the guys are coming in here and not being coached right, and then, like, the reports are coming out, just like y'all was just saying, you want to bring back Corey Unlin to be the defensive coordinator after the way the D-backs looked last year and the year before that? I mean, if I'm Jeff Lurie, like, man, you come and tell me that, yeah, I'm going to be pissed.
Right, right. You know,
like, well, I don't even want to talk anymore. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, I get it. You know what I mean? Like the guy was saying just a minute ago, anybody coming in there is going to be like, man, he won the Super Bowl 3 years ago and he's already being fired. So it's discouraging, but if you got this much talent, I feel like, just like we were talking last week, and Kez Watkins looked like he's going to be a player.
Right.
Hightower looks like he could be a player. Rager, we don't know. It's still up in the air. But if these guys, if we see another coach come in this year coming up and these guys flourish, then we know it wasn't Howie. You know, I think we still just got to wait and see. You know?
Yeah. I feel you. I mean, that's the one negative. Like, if you're keeping score, one of the problems is that, and one of the things that I kept pointing out was nobody gets better.
Exactly.
Like, listen.
Exactly.
I mean, obviously Jefferson was the pick, or, like, to me, the real pick was get aggressive, move up, and get me C.D. Lamb, because he's the perfect fit going in, right?
Right.
Now, Jefferson
Absolutely.
Turns out to be a star, whatever. Now, we were all D.K. Metcalfed up, and I can give you 10 running backs I wanted that, you know, that didn't get done. But I'm with you. Who gets better?
Like, yeah.
Miles Sanders, they at some point they stopped using him in the end of games.
Right. Exactly. And I think, and you know what else didn't make any sense to me? The year we won the Super Bowl, I remember everybody talking about it. It was like, oh man, Wentz has all these quarterback gurus around him. He's got Frank Reich that played in the league for years as quarterback. He's got whatever the young guy's name was that was real hot. He was the quarterback's coach,
yeah.
DeFilippo. Then he had Doug Peterson, used to be a quarterback in the league. And then you come into this season without an offensive coordinator,
yeah.
with a quarterback coach who nobody knew about. You know, it's like, I don't get why y'all don't try to just mimic exactly what you did in 2017 when you won the Super Bowl. It makes no sense.
I don't know if he could find, if he found it. And the problem, and it's a great call, Drew. The problem is that you're going to go get an offensive coordinator. Well, who's going to come in who's really good to be a coordinator under Doug? Doug's calling the plays.
Exactly.
So why would I want to go there?
No, I want to go where I can be the spotlight. And, you know, that's why Doug goes, Press Taylor can come up. Because he knows he's not going to give Press Taylor the call, the plays. And Press Taylor's not going to care. Press Taylor's I'm just happy to be here guy, it seems like.
Right. And you know, beyond that, you know, like, he's not going to be, like, who are you going to get? That's a problem.
It's bad. So, Mike Garofalo, there's a lot of very interesting stuff that he said. The last part was fascinating when he said they're scrambling right now because they didn't think they'd be doing a coaching search. And it seems like only one guy wanted him gone, being Jeffrey Lurie. I don't know how much I, like, I don't know, just did Howie not want Doug to be gone? I don't know. But he said, based off the conversations he's had, he said that Jeffrey Lurie's the only guy that wanted him gone. The other thing that he said at the very beginning, when you were rolling through the list of names that could be candidates, you brought up Dable. And he basically just said, well, too late to the party. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's why when we had the caller Mike a few weeks ago that said Doug will be fired in a few weeks, and you and I were like,
Mitch, earlier, yeah.
We were like, no, that's not true, because you should do it right away so that you can have these initial interviews with these other candidates. They wait a week and a half, 2 weeks, and here we are now, and Brian Dable, guy you've been talking about for weeks, is, it might be too late to the party, as Mike Garofalo said. That's not good.
No, it's not. I think people go, they're trying to come to grips with the situation before they can even tackle potential candidates. Chris in North Wales, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Love the show.
Thanks, brother. What's happening?
Couple quick points. The gentleman that was it Mike Garofalo?
Yes, from the NFL Network.
Sounded like he was trying to defend Howie Roseman's job and what he's been doing. And it fits. I mean, I don't know everything a GM does, but I think I know the two most important things that a GM does is talent and salary cap, and he's awful at both. So everything else that he might do that people like or people on the inside like, it's kind of irrelevant. If you can't manage the cap and you can't manage your talent on the field,
yeah. The cap
what are you
thing,
doing?
Listen, I agree with you when it comes to talent. It speaks for itself. The drafts
right. And
the roster speaks for itself. The cap thing, you know, Lurie made one point yesterday, which I agree with, which is you know cap, and again, I don't know the intricacies of cap, but you can get out of it in a year. Now, again, I thought there's some bad contracts. Like, Alshon Jeffrey was a bad contract. Like, why would you give Alshon Jeffrey that contract? Especially when you look at in the college ranks with all the receivers. You know what I mean, Chris?
Yeah, I get it. It's bizarre that anybody looks at his body of work and says he's doing a great job. He may have done it in 2017, but he's not doing it now. And the one other point I want to make is about Jeffrey Lurie.
Yeah.
What you're seeing is what happens when you give people money. Like, he's never built anything. He didn't come up from business. He didn't build the business that his family made all that money in. He was basically given the money to run this franchise. So he has no ability to critically think. He hasn't built anything. And this is what you're seeing when that happens. I mean, this happens to lottery winners all the time, right? They win the lottery and they go bankrupt. And the reality in the NFL is, as an owner, you could have two monkeys banging a tambourine together and you're going to make money. It's not the franchise. It's the shield. It's the marketing.
Well, it's idiot-proof business. Yes.
It is absolutely. That's why you don't see anybody selling NFL franchises.
Right.
It's not hard to make money in the NFL. Right. So he's not a critical thinker. He's not a smart businessman. And this is what you end up with.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. I'd like to know what that was like to be giving that guy money.
Well, I hear you, but you're seeing it. You're seeing it.
Thanks, brother. I like to have the chance to fail there. You know?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You know what I mean?
How about the lottery numbers, man? They're high.
Oh, yeah. Nobody won it, right?
Nobody won it last time.
Where's it at now?
One's in the 600s. And Powerball, I think, is like 550. And the Mega Millions, I think, is over 600, 680 maybe. Let me double check for you.
Really?
Yeah, I've been thinking.
That's that whole thing, the Dare to Dream type of thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's one of those. I can't
Come
believe
on, we'll go partners. You want to go partners?
Yeah.
Pro 20 spot, we'll go partners.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Then we split that
You're
up.
Lucky.
I'd be all right. It's Mega Millions is 615, Powerball 550.
Wow, damn. A lot of money.
I was thinking the other day, I was like,
a lot of cash, a lot of prizes.
Like, if you win $615 million, right? And right. You go, I could spot you a million to somebody.
Well, after taxes.
Yeah.
Right? So you're going to get the, you won't get the annuity. You
right.
Get the cash out, right? So right off the bat, this six, what is it, 650?
6:15.
6:15 turns to what, 4? And then you pay Uncle Sam and you walk with, you know, a buck and a half, $1.75.
I think I still take it.
Not bad.
Right. I remember, and I always like pointing this out.
You could spot anybody a million if you want.
And I apologize that I didn't bring this up last week. Every time the number gets really high and people start playing it that don't normally play it, I just want to pay, you know, give you the attention. Mark Cuban did an interview a few years ago on if you win the lottery and what you should do. So just check that out.
Really?
All right.
What was he saying? Give me the thumb.
I mean, I don't remember. I know to recheck it if I were to ever win, but he explained how what you should do. You should hire a financial advisor that's, you know, somebody that's actually trustworthy so that you don't blow through your money right away and so that they can put it in places where you can make more money off of that money because you're playing with free money pretty much. You're playing with house money.
Right. Now you're talking about generations.
Yeah, exactly. So there's all kinds of stuff that Mark Cuban suggests that you should do the second you win the lottery. Right. So check that out.
Yeah.
If you win, good luck.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's us.
I don't hold your breath, bro.
Yeah, I doubt it. Next drawing's tomorrow.
Ian, let's talk some Bradley Beal, Ian.
Hello?
Ian, what's happening?
Hey, yeah.
What do you think, Bradley Beal, man?
Sounds exciting. I'm a big fan of yours from the other station way back.
Thank you, buddy.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
I appreciate that, brother.
I think Beal would be the piece that the Sixers need. What do they got to give up, though?
I don't know, buddy. I mean, I heard the report, and I'm like dubious. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I would think it would be Ben, but, you know, who knows? I don't know. I mean, you have Russell Westbrook. What are you trying to do with Westbrook? Can you get away with a maxi and? I don't know. I don't know what they want. I don't know what they're... What you're doing? There's a three-team deal. You know, is that it? You know, all you know is that Beal and Bede. Like, if you could somehow get Beal without giving up Ben, I mean,
yeah.
I mean that would be outrageous. But you know, again, these are fantasy trades.
True.
You all right? Everything good?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm doing great.
Good. Good. Well, I thank you. I appreciate you finding me, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, brother. Have a good one, man. All right. 610-632-0975 is how you reach us.
I also have your 2021 opening night roster for the Orange and Black.
Really?
Yes.
No, tomorrow at 5:30.
I know. I've been trying to cut back beers.
Tomorrow's a good trick.
Tomorrow's a beer day.
Yeah, triple header.
I had a beer day last night. Had the national championship. Tough week to cut down.
Yeah, I'm still. I did well.
I'm proud.
Didn't have it.
I went to Yards yesterday.
Ah, well,
it was great. Right.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Don't tell me that. I like the like that Philadelphia Pale Ale.
Yeah, it's delicious.
It's a great beer. It's a good session beer.
Yes.
5:30 start means the Mike Mussinelli show is preempted. So you get off like an hour. What time you done that?
I think we're done at like 5-ish, 5:15.
That's a nice little, yeah. You know, it's like cool. Leading into Flyer hockey, Mike can be all fired up.
Yeah.
Cool.
We're That's ready. Good. Come nice. Crazy the Mike Mussinelli show is.
I like it. I like it. Hey, let's talk Xceva for a second, right? Let's talk about the what? Xceva Vitamin Infusion Therapy. Now, I told you about Xceva. Now, what it is IV of goodness. So, you go get an IV of vitamins, nutrients, amino acids, hydration, all to help you boost your immune system, elevate your mood, elevate your energy level, replenish your reserves. That's all what you get with Xceva Vitamin Infusion Therapy. It's a game changer. You know, running around going crazy. We're doing all kinds of things. You know, every once in a while you drink too much. You know what I'm saying? During this. Yeah, so your body, you crave all the vitamins and nutrients, hydration. That's where Xceva comes in. It's safe. We're talking vitamins, nutrients, hydration, administered by a board-certified nurse at one of Xceva's modern infusion suites. You relax in a massage chair. You disappear from the planet 45 minutes it takes. All right, it's how you recharge, like plugging your body into the wall. Learn more about Xceva Vitamin Therapies. You visit Xceva.com. It's AXIVA.com. Xceva, replenish, recharge, relief.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Five, The Fanatic.
1:30 across the Delaware Valley. Cuz Radio with Chumas. We get the Flyers roster, dude. Yes. We got a little hockey tomorrow.
Yes, I can't wait, man.
I'm looking forward to it.
5:30 puck drop. Yeah, it's a beer's
cool
day.
Cool time, man.
I think it's official. Beer's day.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing. I gotta ask you for your you're a wise man. So I've been doing my resolution this year is to not have a beer more than 3 days a week.
Right.
So that could be one beer or that could be getting tanked, right? So last night I only had like two or three, right?
Right.
So do I use, yesterday was day one.
So you got 2 days left.
I got 2 days left.
All right, so.
I use one Wednesday.
Well, you got to pick and choose. You got to do Saturday. You do Wednesday, Saturday.
Okay. Because okay. Sunday, the way I'm doing it, Monday is the beginning of the week. I'm not following the traditional calendar.
Yeah, I get it. But you don't need Sunday.
I don't need Sunday. You're right.
Sunday's a good relaxed day anyway.
We got some playoffs.
Yeah, but you get Saturday playoffs. Saturday's a drinking day.
All right.
Sunday's a chill day.
I'm good with the chill Friday. I'm sometimes good with that.
Yeah, I could see why the Wednesday would be appetizing.
Yeah.
As with a 5:30 start early, you know.
All right, so I go Monday, Wednesday, Saturday this week?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
What do you got, by the way, for the roster?
All right, so I got your... Hold on, let me get some appropriate music here. Of course, got to throw this in there.
Come on now.
All right, so I have your 13 forwards. Travis Konecny, Michael Raffle, Kevin Hayes, Sean Couturier, Nolan Patrick, Scott Laughton, Oscar Lindblom, which we're excited for, James Van Riemsdyk, Claude Giroux, Nicholas Aubé-Kubel, love NAK, Joel Farabee, Jacob Voracek.
I like Farabee.
And your man.
Morgan Frost.
Morgan Frost.
Now, Farabee and Frost.
Yep. Dude. Now, Jason is saying, Martinez is saying that it may just be that he doesn't crack the top nine just yet. So he's going to have to wait for like some injuries and some scratches to get his opportunities. So we might not see him tomorrow night. But he's on the top. He's on the 13.
All right.
This excites you, right?
It does. I like both.
Okay, so
you know that.
That's your forwards, your defensemen. Phil Myers, like that. Travis Sanheim, Robert Haig, Ivan Provorov. The Ghost is still on the roster. Shane Gostisbehere. Eric Gustafson is on there. Mark Friedman and Justin Braun. Those are your defensemen.
All right.
And goaltenders, obviously, Brian Elliott, Moose, and Carter Hart.
There you go, man. Tonight, Sixers Heat. Sixers 7-point favorites over Miami.
Yeah, Miami's also dealing with a lot of
their COVID own COVID issues. Problems. Yeah. Any like here? Actually, it just went up to 7.5.
That's the thing. I don't want to bet these games, man. When there's all these guys out with COVID,
you don't know. It's like Brooklyn, right? Like, who the hell knows? Kyrie's out another week.
The league has officially launched an investigation on Kyrie Irving regarding the video that has surfaced of him being
at a
maskless birthday party.
Yeah.
I don't want to play today, Coach.
Yeah, he's a goofball.
And of course, we don't know what the story is, right? He's eventually going to speak to the media, but at first, remember, he didn't want to play. Well, he was hurt. He didn't think the NBA should play in the bubble last year because of all the social injustice that was going on. This happened right after the Capitol building, when the people stormed the Capitol building.
Right.
Whatever. And so when he disappeared, a lot of people started making speculation that it had something to do with that. But then a video comes out that he's at a birthday party.
Yeah.
So he'll give us the story eventually because he doesn't keep quiet. He does explain everything, but until then, I mean, you know, speculate all you want.
Good college game, Michigan-Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's good.
Baylor-West Virginia was postponed.
Speaking of Michigan, what the hell are they doing bringing Harbaugh back?
Yeah.
For like 4 or 5 more years.
I know, that's crazy.
He's been awful.
Yeah. Can't find a quarterback.
Khakis.
Yeah, can't find a quarterback.
Unbelievable. All right,
let's get back to our phone calls. David in Baltimore, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. David.
Hey, what's up, baby?
How you feel, Dave? Long time, man, my friend.
I'm feeling just like you, man. I'm after listening to that Jesse Lurie conference yesterday, it left me. I don't know what to think, man, because it's like he wasn't hearing about Howie Roseman, and in my personal opinion, in my honest opinion, I feel like Howie Roseman should have been terminated or fired before Doug.
Well, you know, I think most people think, like, listen, if you're going to fire one, you should fire both because there were issues with roster, draft, as well as the coaching staff. I think that's what people...
Right.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem. If you're Jeffrey Lurie, you're part of the problem, right? Like if I
agree.
I would go, yo, dude, you wanted... I didn't want J.J. Arcega Whiteside. That was your pick there, boss.
Right, and I, you know, I was like, I'll be honest with you, man. I still am a big Carson Wentz guy.
Yeah.
But man, you know, I was one of the people that felt like it was him and Doug's fault as to what took place with our offense this season. So you know, and don't kill me for this, man.
No, go ahead.
I mean, now Doug's gone. We can't blame Doug anymore. So my question is, you know. You know, as far as Carson went, man, when is enough enough? You know, like, I'm saying, say if we get the right coach in.
Right.
A coach that you like, or a coach that we think that we think is competent or whatever.
Right.
Well, at what point do we say enough is enough? You know, I've been frustrated. I've been frustrated with Carson and Doug and Carson. You know, it's,
I get it. I think you should be frustrated with Carson, too. Here's the deal, right? They owe him $135 million, right? So,
right.
You know, I mean, it kind of, that's why you got to go, you got to choose Wentz over Peterson, because you got to figure out how to fix him.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you know what I mean? Like,
you try to fix him, man.
You're stuck.
You know.
Right. Like, right. The whole point of this year, like, I know, like, listen, I know he's on your nerves, and he should be on your nerves. He was terrible last year, but you got no recourse.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do?
Well,
like, if you get rid of the guy, you just lost $33 million against your cap.
Right. My last question, and sure. Let me ask you this, man. All right, we interviewing the defensive coordinator from San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
I kind of like him, man. How you feel about him?
I'm an on Salah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
you can't be worse than Jim Schwartz, right?
Well, but again, I don't want a coordinator as my coach.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I want a CEO. Listen, if he's from the defensive side, that's cool because he could be he could fix the defense and be the CEO of the team. But, you know, I don't know a lot about Salah other than, you know, listen, I know he comes highly regarded. He's part of that Shanahan crew, you know, all right. But, if you're looking for a CEO type, I'll give you my boy, who's defensive coordinator, Spags. Temple Todd is a CEO type. I don't know if you want to revisit either of those, but if that's where you're going, the one that makes the most sense to me, divorcing my own opinion of Spags, the one that makes the most sense is Dable. I loved him. You know, I talked about him before. And that's a guy who I think can fix Wentz, can run your offense. He's an upstate Pete, New York guy, right? Buffalo, right area. That's where he grew up. He can handle, you know, he can handle this town. He understands it.
Unfortunately, Garofalo came right out and said, too late to the party.
Yeah.
Chargers.
But I don't know why you would be too late to the party. If he's not, you know, that's where I would go, yo, dude, come on in, let's talk.
Yeah, I mean, and he would be dumb not to take the interview, right?
Right, because, you know, if the offer's good, it all depends on the offer now.
Unless he goes, yeah, no, you don't like hearing it.
It's like Tom Cruise in the Firm.
Yes, yes.
When he gets the offers.
Yes.
And then what was the name of the firm in Memphis? Something Burton and Locke or whatever it was. And the best is they go, if you could guess what's in the envelope, a lawyer of your ilk, who deserves, should be able to guess it. That was awesome.
See, it's Burdini? One of those movies I've seen.
Is it Burdini and Locke? Did you look it up?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it right now. It's one of those movies I saw once, and you probably have seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it 100
times. So you know these lines, and I go, yeah, sure.
That was a great movie. Firm.
It was good. I liked it.
No good? You're out?
No, I liked it. It's just like, it wasn't a, let me watch
Lambert,
this.
Lambert, Burdini and Locke.
Let me watch this 50 times.
All right, well, it's a good little... You know what I like? Because I don't watch TV shows except for my dramas, right? Like the HBO, Netflix types. But every once in a while, if I need a movie on in the background, if I'm doing something, I like a Firm type in the background. Those kinds of movies.
Okay. See, I'd go more comedy in the
background. Right, like you had Seinfeld on.
Right.
I don't do that.
Right.
I'll have one of those movies on.
I'll go comedy in the background. Or during the pandemic, I did the classic sports.
Okay, that makes sense because you miss it. But you know what I dove back in because it's coming out again? Curb.
Yeah.
New season's coming soon. And I know I'm in the minority here, but I think it's 100 times better than Seinfeld.
I mean, it's also totally different. Well, not totally different, but different kinds of humor.
I like it way better.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm in the minority there. I get it. Eddie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, thanks. First of all, Curb Your Enthusiasm is a million times better than Seinfeld. And the only reason Seinfeld was good was because of Larry David. Jerry Seinfeld's the most vanilla, boring comedian ever. And Larry David's a genius. So,
well, I agree with you.
But, yeah, it's obvious. I mean, everybody knows that. If they don't, they don't know who wrote the show. But a couple points about the Eagles. I would have loved to see Doug coach a full season without Wentz as a starter. I know it seems impossible with the money, but he's proven he can be successful without Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz hasn't proven anything. He's a veteran. He's not some guy that his mind can be destroyed because the coach doesn't coddle him at this point. He's also a guy who changes the plays at the line of scrimmage more than any coach ever, or any quarterback I've ever seen in my life, you know? And I think Doug's game plan is mostly good. He makes some bonehead plays in those 50-50 decisions, but so did Andy Reid, and people are ready to call him the best coach ever, you know? I think even Jalen Hurts, he chilled out down the stretch, but you could see the offensive line looked suddenly better. The running game was working.
Yeah, I hear you. I disagree with everything you say, but that's all right.
Okay, but also, Carson Wentz is Cam Newton. That's who he is. Once his mobility is gone, he's not accurate. He's never been accurate. His college career has bookend quarterbacks surrounding him that both won championships and went undefeated. And in three seasons,
you might be right. He could be a bust. But that doesn't change anything because you're stuck, brother. You're stuck. I don't know what you see with Doug Peterson, and he proved it. What? With Foles.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, how many times are we going to go through that whole same scenario? Whatever. I mean, listen, feel you how you feel. That's cool. I don't agree with it.
By the way, I'm sorry. I wanted to just give you a little Sixers update. So
yeah, what do we got?
Maybe you do lay that 7.5. You mentioned Embiid and Simmons are both probable. Here are the eight players that are listed as out for the Miami Heat. Bam Adebayo, Avery Bradley, Jimmy Butler, Goran Dragic, Mo Harkless, Udonis Haslem is still on the roster, I can't believe it, Kendrick Nunn, and KZ Okpala. Those are your eight for the Heat. The Sixers are still going to be without Seth Curry, Tobias Harris, Shake Milton, Matisse Thybulle, Vincent Poirier, and Terrence Ferguson.
So all the Sixers are without Tobias, Shake,
and Seth.
Okay.
But they still have at least Simmons and Embiid.
Right.
Whereas
and
the Heat,
Maxi.
I mean, the Heat are just missing
and
everybody.
The Heat have... So no Adebayo.
No Butler.
No Dragic. No Dragic. They have Hero.
And Duncan Robinson.
Duncan Robinson. Haslem, did you say?
Haslem's, yeah, he's on the list as the eight players out. I don't think even if he was healthy, they'd play him.
Yeah. Lay it. I agree with you. Let's go to Sean. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Ant, how's it going, cuz?
What's happening, my brother?
Long time.
Welcome.
First time, buddy.
Welcome.
Driving out from Western PA, was out doing a little hunting, driving through the mountains. Now,
oh,
I did
really?
Not see Carson. Didn't see Carson Wentz out there, by the way. But
what did you hunt?
Well, it's still deer season, but we're using the flintlock rifles like they use in the Revolutionary War.
Oh, wow. Get out.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Missed
That's
one
cool.
last night. Those things flash pretty bright. But anyway, just wanted to get to, first of all, I've always been in agreement with what you're saying about Peterson. When they hired him, I was never big on him. I thought, okay, they want to get somebody in here who they can control. You know, Chip was too much outside the box. And look, when they won the Super Bowl, I thought, hey, maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, whatever. I thought Wentz was great. I'm still putting blame on him, too. And I'm going back to the point you made a little earlier when you said we still kind of feel weird today. And I think it just comes down to the idea that, you know, we only got half the problem solved here. You know, Peterson's gone. I think he needed to be gone. I don't think he's the guy to fix Wentz. I don't see anything. I mean, the guy before was talking about how he was dealing with Hurts, but he was still making the boneheaded stuff. Like, he was still going for it and for, you know, fourth and five or whatever it was and still not doing a run game and stuff like that. So I don't see where the genius is in the guy, but I think if Lurie really wants to fix this team and get back to where they were, He's got to break ties with Roseman. I mean, they need both of these guys out of here.
Right.
And I don't know how that happens. It's almost like he's got a spell on him, like, you know, or maybe he's got some other evidence on him. I don't know. But I just don't see them going anywhere, because any of these candidates that are going to come in, are they going to want to have to be – I mean, what are they going to say when they see the Roseman situation? I mean, even if a Bieniemy or somebody comes in, they're going to be like, we got to take our cues from this guy, you know.
Right.
That's where I'm at.
I hear you. And listen, that's where, you know, I think you're in the vast overwhelming majority that there's no confidence in that part of that team, of the personnel. And I'm like, look,
right.
This is where the coach, whoever comes in, has to be able to say, be the CEO, be presidential, and say, listen, here's the thing. I'm in, but, you know, like, this is, I want my opinion matters when it comes to players, right?
Right.
That's sort of thing.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, I think Dable would be good. I mean, if they had a guy that was a head coach that was any good coming off, I don't know who that would be right now, because you don't want a Gaze, you don't want one of these guys, you know, that got fired. But like a Dable kind of guy, or like I thought that your Spagnuolo idea was pretty compelling, and
then you can also go college, right? Like Iowa State, like Matt Campbell, Pat Fitzgerald. You got Lincoln Riley. I would look at the college guys too, brother. Good stuff. We got a poll update.
Yeah, poll of the day brought to you by Marvin Decan's Heating and Air Conditioning. Marvin Decan's Heating and Air Conditioning is open and able to assist you with any emergency service and replacement needs, including installation of air scrubbers and other air quality products. Visit MarvinDecan's.com today. This on 975 middays. Which direction would you like the Eagles to look at when it comes to their next head coach? Your four options: a successful offensive coordinator, successful defensive coordinator, successful college coach, and the fourth one, the next hot name, which is kind of the, you know, the Mike Kafka route. And not surprised, the successful OC running away with it, 61% of the vote. Defensive coordinator, 22%, 10% say college coach, and just 7% say the next hot name. A lot of people responding with Deuce Staley, though, like in the mentions. And I still just don't get it.
You don't understand what they see in Deuce.
Well, I mean, I just, exactly, like, what do you see in Deuce? I'm not saying he can't be a good coach. I just don't know how you can go, oh, he'd be great. What track record? That's why I also say the same thing about Kafka. It's not Deuce Staley hate. I people are saying Mike Kafka could be this next guy. I haven't seen him be a coordinator yet. I don't want to go from run game coordinator to boom, he's a head coach. Yeah. And I know what happens.
Yeah, the other problem.
It wouldn't be the first time.
I mean, Kafka's got a lot of, like, all of a sudden he's like hot, you know.
Right.
But it's the same thing. I mean, you're giving me a guy from Andy who, where Andy runs the show.
Right, exactly. So I go, okay. I don't really get that all that much.
Yeah. Well, I hear you. I want someone strong who's a leader. I want someone presidential, someone who's a CEO type to come in. That, you know, this is, to me, it's about business. You know, not for this stuff. It's all about business. Everybody, we are out of time. What great stuff from you guys today. Have a great day. Stay tuned. Mikey Miss coming up next. Tyrone and Nat. Enjoy it. We'll see you in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.